Beat. I'm dope.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Well, I can't speak.
I'm dumb.
I'm dumb.
I can't speak. I'm dumb.
Here is the highlight of any broadcast day. My chance to introduce stadium announcer Philip J. Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Phil is so mad.
Why?
His flight was canceled. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Cheese-Eating Surrender Monkeys and all the ships at sea. Known and beloved by five of 23 New Yorkers.
Yes.
It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Five out of 23, right. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Robbie. And hello. It's Friday, April 14th.
Yeah.
We're back in our cheese-laden studios in D.C., back home. And our telephone number, same as it was yesterday, 1-877-365-3636.
Wow, what a busy week.
I'd just like to repeat, can't speak,
am dumb.
I can't speak, am dumb.
That's all we got. 2 days of broadcasting in New York.
Yeah.
That's what we got.
But that's choice. That's a diamond right there.
That's a gem.
I can't speak.
I'm dumb.
I'm dumb.
I'm dumb. So we made it back. We're back here. We'll be back here for a while. Then we'll go back there.
Right.
And then we'll come back here.
We'll go back there again.
And then we'll come back here again. That's the routine.
I better get over this fear of flying. That's all I'm going to say. I better just get over it because I'll tell you, I haven't gotten over it yet. I haven't gotten over it because there was a Tasmanian devil in the cargo hold of the airplane last night. And Charlie Broyhill will back me up. Now, none of you guys heard it, but it was right underneath the wing. And it was making a racket. And I got listening to it before the airplane took off, I got the impression that it was some sort of caged animal.
Listen, nothing is easy for us when we do anything. No, nothing is easy.
This is true.
We got done with the show yesterday from New York. We got in the car. We go to the airport. Made good time to the airport.
Right.
They were at the airport at 8 o'clock. The plane doesn't leave until 8:30.
We really thought, it's a perfect, it's a 9:30 departure, and that we'd have time to get there, relax, grab a bite to eat, and just chill out.
We walk up to the counter. We, it's that way where we're all pushing each other out of the way to be the first to get our tickets to get on the shuttle to come back to D.C.
Everybody's just, we're all ready to get going.
Right. And as soon as we arrive at the United counter, I don't know who it was that heard the news first, but immediately it spreads like wildfire. The flight has been canceled.
Canceled!
The flight has been canceled. I don't know why. If it was a technical problem
equipment
or just the fact that we were the only five guys who were on the flight. But
that was our greatest concern, because that's kind of like the flight that we're always going to be taking. So we were very worried. But Charlie Broyhill, I guess he told me that it was a, and you said the same thing, Buzz, it was equipment. So
Right. Obviously
the plane lost a wing or something, so couldn't fly down to LaGuardia.
So we had to get our tickets switched to another airline. And then after we did that, we said, well, how do we get to the other airline? Because
right.
It's not like you just go from United to US Air. I mean, US
this
Air...
I was going to say, this is after realizing that the airport we're going to be flying to is not the same airport that we left from where all our cars were.
Yeah, right. Our cars are at Dulles Airport, but we're going to be flying back to National Airport.
Mm-hmm.
So once we get past all of that, we say, okay, we got to find the US Air terminal. And we start walking around the airport, and we walk for maybe 5 minutes. and here's the problem.
Can I tell you one thing quick before you go on to the next phase here? You guys all got your tickets. You guys got your ticket. Your switched tickets in short order, except for me. Did you notice that I was down? You guys had people that were going, here's your ticket, here's your ticket.
Meanwhile, told you, don't get mad at that retarded guy. Just wait, and as soon as the lady was done with my ticket and bus tickets, she could do yours, and she did yours lickety-split.
She did, because the other guy was still looking at the machine and trying to fix it. But I'm sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
Who knows? We get through this, and we start walking through the airport. We're looking for US Air, and suddenly we realize that we're in trouble because the trip to the next part of the airport is being led by Buzz and Rob. and at one point, we were just walking aimlessly for about 5 minutes, and I hear Mike say, hey, where are we going? And we looked around and we realized that Rob is leading and Buzz is second in line.
Now, in my defense, I was with Buzz because I thought Buzz knew where he was going.
Oh, right, because Buzz is always so good at direction.
He took the lead. Remember what the lady told me when I was handed my replacement ticket? You can walk to this terminal in about 5 minutes.
So we are clueless.
Yeah, if your name is Michael Johnson.
Exactly.
But it was because of me that we knew we were supposed to go downstairs and catch the shuttle, and it was because of me that we went into departures instead of arrivals
listen
at U.S. Airways.
Listen to him.
Just wanted to point that out.
I'd also like to point out that yesterday, when we got done with the show, you were just standing out in that little area between the studios.
Right.
Waiting. Just waiting.
Right.
Right.
What would you have liked me to have done?
Well, what Mike did.
What did Mike do?
Mike went upstairs.
I went upstairs to the lobby.
The lobby.
Just sat down.
To the lobby.
That's right.
Well, next time I'll know.
I didn't get the memo.
It's one of the little things about you that I actually enjoy. The fact that in many ways, although you're the oldest member of this group, in many ways you're like a small child.
Yes.
That a lot of times when we go somewhere, you know, Buzz will just wait for us to point him in the direction.
That is true.
We're going here, we're walking here, we're getting here, we're doing this.
You are the leaders. We look to you for leadership.
And to my credit, I did not even mention you were foul up with the hot cocoa machine yesterday.
No, you didn't, but you can do that. Feel free to do that.
That was one of the tiny little funny moments of the day yesterday where Buzz, you witnessed it, Rob, when he went out to the machine.
No, I didn't actually see it.
Charlie saw it. There was a machine at WNEW where you could get, like, free hot cocoa.
Yeah.
And he was standing there and he's pushing the button.
For hot cocoa.
Right.
And then keep in mind.
I said to him, are you waiting for the cup to come down too?
Yes.
And the cocoa was pouring all over the floor.
No, it wasn't on the floor.
And there was, let me just tell you, as this story got passed on from person to person, here's how it was passed on to me. Mike brought me out to the cocoa machine.
I thought it was the funniest goddamn thing I'd heard all day. And I said, you got to come out. I got to show you what happened.
Mike brings me out and he says, okay, do you see this cocoa machine?
Yes.
Mike says, what's the first thing you would do? And I said, I would take one of those cups. And Mike said, what would you do with the cup? Mm-hmm. And I said, I would put it underneath the thing where the cocoa comes out.
Right.
And he says, right. He says, Buzz came out and just pressed the button, and like cocoa was going all over the place, even though there was a big, gigantic stack of cups right next to it.
I didn't witness it, but when I guess it was Charlie, when you told me that, I immediately understood the comedy value of what Buzz had done.
No question, it was funny, but in chapter 5 of my book, In My Defense, when I worked at CBS in Chicago, they had a cocoa machine that you pushed the button and the cup did drop down.
That was 15 years ago, Buzz.
Well, this is what I'm accustomed to beverages.
Wouldn't that be the kind of stand-up machine, though? Like a big stand-up machine where you'd have like a real vending machine?
On a counter, but...
Mm-hmm. He's talking about a machine from 15 years ago. That was his last contact with any type of a machine like that.
The last time I bought any hot cocoa. Or
any type of a modern device like that.
I think we can all agree, at least Buzz and I can agree on this, that it was damn fine cocoa that they had. And I want that machine. I think you'd probably like that machine here in Washington.
Yeah, they had like a mochaccino or something,
yeah,
right?
Like a free machine, and they get all sorts of good stuff. And you can make that that Java mocha.
Yeah, mochaccino.
Sure.
So was it better wearing it or drinking it, Buzz?
I didn't wear it, and it was delicious.
Okay.
It didn't get on me. It didn't get on the floor. They have a little drain underneath just for such an occasion.
Just in case someone doesn't know to put a cup there. Right.
Now, that drain would probably be for if there's any kind of, like, over-spillage.
Over-excess.
Right. That drain's probably not built to accommodate the entire beverage being poured down the drain.
But it did.
It did. Okay.
It did. God bless it. So we're walking through the airport, and we realize that we don't know where we're going.
You know, it went so well, and I think Charlie said this to me, it had gone so well up to that point, and one of the reasons it had gone well, and I want to go on record saying thank you to Richard, and I also want to stop saying I want to go on record because I think I say it too much.
Richard,
our guy that met us at the airport with the Danny sign, and he did a great job. He made the trip better than it could have possibly been without him. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah, he's a good guy. True. So we're making our way from the when we get out of the door of the airport. Rob says the lady said it's a 5-minute walk to the U.S. Air Terminal.
Mm-hmm.
We get out there and we figure out that we have to take a shuttle.
Right.
So we get on the shuttle and we drive on this little bus where they take us over to the U.S. Air place. Mm-hmm. And then we get there, we get on the airplane, and we're all frantically calling and saying, you know, listen, we're calling our wives and saying, we're not coming into Dulles, we're coming into National, our cars are at Dulles. I called my wife, of course, like all you guys called your wives, and my wife said, and she offered up very nice. She said, I will come to the airport and I'll pick you guys up.
Yeah, which she did, and we are eternally grateful. That saved us a hell of a lot of time. And she, you know, we got into your family truckster, all of us, and she's to be commended.
Amen.
And I would like to apologize to all of you and apologize to my wife for the gigantic argument that we had in front of everybody last night.
Well, speaking as the other, I guess I'm the only other parent that was in the car, I can completely and totally understand why you guys were tense with each other, because it was, you know, you're going through. I mean, anybody that's had a sick kid, I mean, you they know what you're dealing with.
Mart had this thing going on with his ear for the entire time that I'd been out of town. And last night, when we were driving from one airport to the other port, Frida's driving, we're all in the truck together, the phone rings, and it's Bart. And I picked up the phone and said, hey, buddy, because I see the caller ID, it's our number, I go, how you feeling? And he's going, And right away, I got flipped out, and my first thought was, I looked at Frida, and I said, what have you been doing? What have you been doing the last 2 days?
Oh, no.
I come back and listen to him. He's screaming.
Right.
And she says, no, listen, the doctor said that we take the antibiotics, 72 hours to take on. He's screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to him. He's screaming in pain. So for a while we drove on and there was silence.
Right.
And then she would shoot me a dirty look, you know, like, you know, and I know what she was inferring. You know, how dare you say this to me in front of everybody else, because
right.
My wife is the best mother. You know, for our child, she's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I was overtired, and she was overtired, and we were both stressed out about Bart. And...
You know, I have to apologize to your wife, too, because I realized after that that my, like, jovial demeanor with her probably was inappropriate because she had been dealing with that situation.
I don't even think she noticed it.
I hope, you know, because I remember the first thing I said to her was like, well, this is a much better limo driver than we had in New York. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm smiling, and she's like, huh. And then I took a dollar out and said, here's your tip. And I realized she's been dealing with a sick kid for 3 days, yeah. And so I probably wasn't in the mood for that.
So we get to the airport, and there's bickering. Frida and I are bickering on the way to the airport, and all you guys are making happy talk, but every once in a while I would notice that you guys just wouldn't say anything.
Well, at a point it got to the point where total silence was really the only thing that was appropriate. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody wanted to say anything at that moment.
And it was at that point that I made this move, and I know a lot of husbands have made this move with a wife, where I reached over and I, like, stroked her head a little bit, and I got this, where
she wasn't met with the most appreciative.
Shook it off.
Yeah.
You know, shook it off. Like, don't touch me. Don't even touch me.
Right.
So she dropped us off at the airport to get our cars, and as soon as I got in the car, the phone rings, and I see it's her. And I pick up and go, hello? And she goes, how dare you talk to me like that in front of them? And then I made the cardinal sin. I said, well, if they weren't there, it would have been 100 times worse.
Now there you go. Phase two.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let the games begin.
It was just awful. But the reason was we were both overtired.
Right.
We were both worried about our kids. These stupid cockamamie doctors who don't know what the hell they're doing. We finally got him to the right doctor today. They figured out what the hell's wrong with his ear. He doesn't have swimmer's ear. He has a bacterial infection in his ear.
Right.
That strikes about 1 in 3,000 people.
And I think I remember having an ear infection as a kid, and I remember it because of the level of pain that you go through. It's one of the most painful things in the world, Barry.
Yeah, but he's doing fine now, so everything is under control, and everything is very, very, very calm on the home front.
And I want to thank your son for giving me the article about Slipknot. I really appreciated reading about it. They're not exactly my favorite band. They're the band that I noticed, and I enjoyed reading that article, so he must be feeling a little
that
better.
That was the sign to me that I knew that he was coming around after going to see this other doctor today.
While we're recapping the flight back, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't send birthday greetings out to little Fred.
Oh. All right, now listen. When we were flying back from New York, at one point, the stewardess, and I was sleeping. You know, I can sleep on a flight if it's 30 minutes or 4 hours. As soon as I sit on an airplane, I fall asleep.
Nah, I wish I could.
I'm sleeping, and this lady, she loved the PA. It was like she's doing her own radio show.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to get on the PA to tell everybody how to put their headphones in to watch the TVs,
right.
To tell everybody to look out the left side of the window. You'll see the Manhattan skyline,
right.
To tell us the weather. Well, about 10 minutes before we're going to land, I hear this cackling voice coming through, waking me out of a deep sleep, where she goes, hey, everybody, we just want to say hi. It's me. It's Broomhilda, your flight attendant.
Betty
and,
Davis.
And Fred is having his 18th birthday today, and his mom and dad sent him to New York for the day, and
We wanted to say happy birthday, little Freddy.
And everybody broke into applause.
Everybody started clapping. And
except for me. I didn't do it. I wasn't. I actually was not paying attention to what she said. I just heard the applause, and then I regretted not hearing that it was Fred's birthday greeting.
Little Freddy. So it pissed me off because I was sleeping, and it woke me up. As we were making our way from the gate out to where my wife was going to be picking us up, as we got on this escalator, I said, because it was just us walking together.
So did you say something like, what's the deal with that 18-year-old kid that had his birthday with his mommy and daddy?
I said, what kind of parents are they? I said, they send their kid to New York for the day? That's great. Here you go, Freddie. Go get mugged or go get laid. Happy friggin' birthday. And announce it on the goddamn airplane and wake me up from my sleep. And it was at that point that Rob taps me on the shoulder and says, look right in front of you.
There they were.
Mm-hmm. The happy family, Freddie and his mom and dad.
They'd gone up with him, right? They'd gone up with him for
right.
the day?
Yeah, I guess.
So they were on the plane, too, because I think that's what he said. We want to say happy to Fred and his mom and dad, and we noticed that there was the what appeared to be an 18-year-old and his mom and dad, and that was when you had said that very loud.
Yeah, I thought that she'd announced that they had just sent the kid up for the day.
They were there. They were the package deal. He was up there with his folks. They apparently took him up to New York for the day.
Well,
that was his birthday present.
Happy birthday, Fred.
There you go. Very, very nice of that.
Happy birthday, Fred. And of course, my apologies. I will just put it to you like this.
I can't speak. I am dumb.
I can't speak. I am dumb. But we're back. We'll get this travel thing down.
Oh, yeah. I hope so.
We'll get it down. We'll get in a nice groove going there, coming here. We got it handled.
What disturbed me was that when we got to the counter, the flight, the check-in area at LaGuardia Airport, was the matter-of-fact nature that we were informed that the flight had been canceled. It was, I guess, is it routine? Because I really don't have a lot of experience with that. I haven't had many flights canceled.
They didn't seem very concerned about the fact that we were five little boys that were not going to be able to get home.
I mean, didn't you get the impression that the demeanor was just, it was like, oh, that flight was canceled. And I'm like, well, okay, now I understand flights get canceled all the time. But it was just the way she said it, which I got the impression, here's what it is, I got the impression that flight is canceled on a regular basis.
That's why I thought maybe it's because we were the only five guys that were on that flight.
And I feel responsible, and Charlie Broyhill, I just want to thank you so much. I just want to say thank you for immediately saying I'm glad that I rearranged the flight arrangements. Because, of course, everybody was flying international, and then I switched it around to have everybody fly into Dulles, and that was the flight going to Dulles. And Charlie, in no uncertain terms, said, boy, this wouldn't have happened if we just booked the plane to Nashville. And
you know him, the Minister of Information.
I immediately gave him a very nice greeting.
So listen, we're back. We're back. Everything's fine. Yeah. My kid's feeling better. Feel good. Things are fine with the wife. Got home last night, and because we had this stuff going on with Bart, and because we were talking to doctors and stuff, I couldn't get to sleep, so I turned on the TV, and I'm so glad that I was able to see the Elian Gonzalez tape.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the tape of him talking to his dad?
No, I haven't. No.
Okay.
Yes.
It's first off, I'd like to say, it reminds me of the tapes that I saw of John McCain when John McCain was a POW.
Oh, really?
Right. It's obvious that the kid has been rehearsed on this.
Mm-hmm.
It's little Elian, and he's sitting on his bed.
Does it look like that when those, remember that family, that British family, I think was Saddam Hussein, had him in a room, and he walked over and he stroked the kid's hair.
Same thing. Very similar.
Very strange.
So he's sitting on a bed. And now, how old is this kid? He's six?
Eight.
Six or eight, something like that. First off, he's wearing more gold chains than a baseball player wears. Mm-hmm. He's got gold chains around his neck, and he's got gold chains around his arms, and he's speaking in Spanish, but you can pick up what he's saying, because they got the subtitles, and he's pointing at the camera.
Mm-hmm.
He's going, Papa, Papa, I don't want to come be with you. Papa, I don't want to be with you. Papa. By this little kid just sitting there pointing, and I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, this is so orchestrated, this is so goddamn orchestrated, it's driving me crazy.
You know, say what you will about Cuba and Castro, that is just not a fair thing to do to the kid. I mean, at 6 years old,
Papa.
I mean, did it appear that maybe the people in Miami, the relatives in Miami, have been just pounding this kid with propaganda?
I wouldn't be surprised if they had cue cards for him to read.
Oh, that's
that's the feeling I got.
On the tape, you see him continually looking off to the left, and after he looks off to the left, when he turns back to the camera, his gestures that Don was just describing increase. There are more gestures after he gets
like someone's coaching him to say, okay, now point at the camera now, say, Papa.
You know, guys, it's weird. It's his father.
Mm-hmm. And remember what I told you yesterday, that right when we went on the air, that I had seen Gloria Estefan for some reason there? You know they had Andy Garcia there also?
Right.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know the mind that you have this major story in Miami. Who gets on the phone and says, you know what? Christ, get me every Cuban entertainer in the world. Get me Gloria Estefan now.
Man.
Get me Andy Garcia now.
Boy, I was hoping that they would. Weren't they going to give counseling to both the relatives in Miami and the family and the father's family that they were going to say, here's how you handle it with this kid? This kid shouldn't have to tell anybody what he wants to do. You know, he should. It's weird. It's
Papa.
It must have been painful to watch that.
It was awkward to watch.
You got the impression the kid is being coached from the family in Miami.
Absolutely. I told you, the first thing I thought was, it's like watching John McCain in his POW case.
Right.
Weird. And then, you know, then they're interviewing. Here's how the chronological order of the tape is. It's a soundbite of Janet Reno. Then it's the Elian Gonzalez POW tape. Then it's Gloria Estefan, and then it's Andy Garcia.
Now, what did Gloria Estefan and Andy Garcia say about it?
They were down there as goodwill ambassadors.
So they're trying to keep everybody cool?
So the people wouldn't set the town on fire, I guess.
But they both want the child to stay here, and so they're campaigning for that as much as they're campaigning for peacefulness.
Jesus Christ.
You know, there's no way that anybody's ever going to know really what the truth is,
right?
Whether this kid has been brainwashed or whether he legitimately doesn't want to go back to his father.
Papa.
You know, they haven't made any allegations about this father ever mistreating him. He had obviously a good relationship, even though it was a broken home. They had a good relationship when he would see his son, correct?
Right.
Yes.
And then I got even more upset. After I watched the Elian Gonzalez tapes and the Gloria Estefan, I got more upset when I turned on SportsCenter and I saw the San Diego Padres uniforms.
The camis.
Yes, now this is truly sick. I know that the baseball teams, that generally people don't like baseball as much as they used to, and that they're changing the uniforms all the time to get people to buy the new unis. Okay, Texas has new uniforms. Houston has new uniforms.
Yeah.
Oakland has new uniforms. They all got new uniforms. The San Diego Padres, in a tribute to the Gulf War, yesterday played their home opener, I think it was, in camouflage uniforms.
That's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in baseball.
I mean, baseball uniforms with the big, ugly, brown and mustard-colored Padres on the front of it.
Padres have gotten it wrong so many times with their uniforms.
The Padres uniforms look like Subway uniforms. You know, the Subway, if you go in to buy a sandwich.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they're camouflage, though. Right. It's like that nylon with the baseball pants and the baseball jersey and the hat. But they're made out of camouflage.
I was out buying a couple of pairs of pants today, and he brought out a pair of brown ones. I sent the brown pants back.
Sure.
Brown is just brown, you know what I mean? It doesn't work anyway, and now you got to go put camouflage in there.
But camouflage?
That was not obviously a permanent uniform change. That was a one-day tribute, correct?
That I don't know.
I think so.
I don't know. It might have just been like a turn back the clock day or a tribute to the Gulf War day, but
amazing.
They're the queerest uniforms I'd ever seen in my life.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely, just 100% queer.
And you know, I hate the fact that the Oakland Athletics are going to the black uniforms, to black hats instead of the green. I mean, Oakland Athletics always had that green and yellow combo happening, and I always thought that their uniforms were some of the best uniforms in baseball.
Cool uniforms.
I mean, those of all the, you know, if you tell me, there are two teams that you just don't screw with. You don't screw, and the Yankees have modified their uniforms a little bit, their road uniforms this year.
Yeah, but home they still wear the same ones they wore like when Babe Ruth played.
You never mess with the pinstripes. I mean, everybody has always said that, you know. That's why I believe the Yankees are the franchise they are, because the Yankees will always say, don't mess with the pinstripes, and then, you know, look at how many championships they've won.
Uh-huh.
But Oakland's going to, like, the black jerseys and stuff.
You know what else I've hated about baseball this year? And I know that they do this in spring training, but I've seen them do it in regular games now.
Yeah.
Where both teams have dark jerseys.
Right.
I mean, I know it's not
spring training uniforms.
Yeah, I know it's not like football where one team has to wear white, the other team has to wear a different color jersey. But like I watched the highlights of a game with Cleveland, and maybe it was with Oakland, where Cleveland had on the dark blue jersey,
right,
and Oakland has on the black jersey.
And it looks like everybody plays for the same team.
All guys are on the same team.
That's ridiculous. They don't need to do that.
And furthermore, the San Diego uniforms, I mean, like, what if you play in somewhere where you got a nice, lush green outfield? I mean, if you're watching on TV, all of a sudden, what does it look like? Does it just look like the Invisible Man was standing up at the plate and hit the ball, and all of a sudden the ball just goes out? It looks like Casper the Friendly Ghost caught it.
You bring up an important point, a good chance, and probably making it easier to steal home. I would say you can use it to your advantage. You know, the guy's inching up the third baseline, and the catcher can't even see him.
Well, they're just the queerest thing. Okay, let's take a couple couple of phone calls. And then, as always, our schedule on Friday is very busy, so we're going to move along at a fast pace today. Hello, NASCAR Nate. Hello?
NASCAR Nate.
Well, let me make sure the telephones are turned on. Hold on a second.
You have to throw the big red switch. I like this weekend's race better.
They're on. Hold on a second. Let's go to a Steve. Steve.
Yes, Don and Mike.
Buddy.
Radio God.
Hey, my friend.
Hey, I'm a Roto-Rooter man. I'm in Waynesville, North Carolina.
Sherry Gig.
And I just wanted to tell Mike I'm impressed with his knowledge about poopers there.
About what?
Poopers.
Oh, when that girl called yesterday with the toilet that was all backed up.
Oh, let me tell you something. I have plunged more toilets than anybody in America.
Hey, now, I don't know. You might have to contend with me there for a little bit.
Hey, well, now. Yeah, you probably snaked a few more drains than I have, but I'll tell you right now, I've taken the plunger to them, and I know the system. And the low-water toilet, I mean, I'd say once a week.
Well, they need to get rid of them stupid things. They ain't worth nothing.
They're ridiculous because you do have to sometimes flush twice.
Yeah, well, two or three times.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you have enough knowledge. Hey, you can come up here and I'll give you a job.
I have a gorgeous plunger.
The king of feces, Mike.
One of the most beautiful plungers. It is a plunger that has it's got the regular standard, but it's Kelly green, the rubber part of on the plunger.
Yeah.
And then the handle is like a
solid gold
plexiglass, and inside you can see inside, and it's filled with golf tees. And then at the very top, there's a golf ball on the top of the plunger. I have a golf plunger. God.
Shocker. Did you have a golf plunger?
Thank you very much.
Please. And you wouldn't wear those sandals I got you.
This is true.
That had spikes on them.
No, I wouldn't.
But you will plunge your toilet with a golf plunger.
It's not as good a plunger as the standard plunger. It's, in fact, because the rubber is a little too deep. It's and you get splash factor, and that is, oh, God, that's the worst thing about plunging the toilet.
Hello, Mike. Mike, buddy.
No, this is Ken.
Is Ken?
Yeah.
Ken, hold on, I'm looking for Mike. You know, the computers have gone down here, and we've gone back to, I guess, the way that the Pilgrims did it when they took telephone calls on their radio shows, that they're just running in note cards to tell me who's on what line.
Is this the same computer crash that we had earlier in the week?
Yep.
God, it still hasn't been repaired.
Nope. Mm. I'm not going to say anything about it.
Well, that's great. Goes along with the stock market today. That's
not going to say anything with the fact that the computers are broken, yet the engineers are having lunch and sitting outside smoking in solitaire.
Ah, now wait a minute. Wendell is not... I got the distinct impression from Wendell that he's still a little shaky. He's still not... You know, I got my standard Wendell's polite greeting, which is not the happy greeting.
Is he still mad?
This might be my fault. He was he offered to come in during, you know, immediately to reboot this computer, but I said perhaps best not to until we go to break, because he's going to have to get, like, down and over there. So he volunteered to come in right
away.
All
right, well, I just
thought it would be distracting.
Did Wendell hear the apology? Didn't we give Wendell an apology?
Yes, but I probably have to apologize again for my comment about his sitting outside alone, smoking,
cleaning his gun. No, he was very nice to me today, so I don't think
he was polite. There was no rudeness at all. It was like, hey, how you doing? But it was, hey, how you doing?
All right, go get Wendell.
Okay. I just want to make sure everything's all right with Wendell, because Wendell is frightening me more and more. I don't like to be on his bad side. Wendell is somebody who I like to be on his good side.
No, Wendell was scary today.
Yeah, Wendell, I mean, I got the standard polite greeting from Wendell, and, you know, it's a little disturbing.
He just sits outside, just smoking his no-filter Campbell's.
That's where he scares me the most, when he's out there. I don't know what's going through his mind. You know, obviously, he's just having a smoke. That's his area. That's where everybody goes to have a smoke.
And that's probably good, because that probably helps him beat stress, which is probably a good idea in this situation. So let him ask him about that.
I want to, when he gets angry, mm-hmm. I want to know how long it's been since he had his last cigarette.
I want to know the last time he went to the firing range.
That's true.
The last time he cleaned his gun.
We're going to have him come in.
Here
and,
he comes now. Here comes Wendell.
Here he comes.
Here is Wendell.
Hi, Wendell.
Hi, Wendell.
Wendell, is everything? You're scaring me today.
Did you hear my apology the other day?
No.
I apologized to you for yelling at you about the instant message stuff.
And I said when I came in today, it was, I've gotten this from you before, where it's polite, a nice hello that we have, but underneath the surface, I didn't feel that everything was right with the world, and it frightens me. There are a lot of people here, I don't give a rat's ass if I'm on their bad side. You,
You scare the hell out of me. I don't like to be on the bad side of Wendell. And when we saw you
sitting outside by yourself smoking tonight,
Wendell, with you, when things aren't 100% okay, it just comes out of your pores. You give off a vibe, and I wanted to make sure everything was cool.
Things are improving, I guess.
You're being honest.
Okay. You should know that that while I have been using your guys' publicity photo as a dartboard cover, I have gotten better at missing you, Mike.
Oh, but you're still A-OK hitting me, huh?
Well, it's until now. I was on my way home, I guess, because I heard the champagne and you know, all that, but I missed the middle part of the show.
Oh, you didn't hear the... Okay, well, Don did apologize to you, Wendell. Oh. Yes.
I did. But frankly, you're a little sensitive, though.
You're right.
Just a little sensitive.
I've got to grow a thicker skin. But
I mean, we were up there in a new environment, yeah. And I was just trying to look at the screen to see what was happening with the telephone calls, and all I saw was 5 different messages from you. Saying, I'm here, I'm working on this, I'm doing it, I wanted to hear from the people here who was calling.
Understood.
I have a question about when you occasionally you will get concerned and mm-hmm. you'll get upset, right? Like sure. We all get upset. When you have those moments, when you get pissed, is it usually a long period of time since your last cigarette? Have you ever thought about that? You might want to think.
Do you smoke
that
when you're mad?
I smoke. The only time I don't smoke is when I'm asleep. I mean, but no, it was. I was kind of taken aback. It hurts when somebody that you admire basically tells you that you're a nuisance. And
well, listen, again, for the record, I apologize.
Sad. It's cool.
I apologize. Cool. Very sorry.
No problem. Can I fix your computer now?
Yeah, well, during the break.
Okay.
During the break. That would be fantastic.
I'll be back.
When's the last time you were out at the range shooting?
Last time I was out at the range, a couple weeks ago.
How many firearms do you own in total, Wendell?
Here we go. Fingers and toes.
Thinking. Count the registration.
5 or 6.
Five or six.
When's the last time that you just were out driving, maybe drinking, and just stopped maybe a soda, and just stopped to shoot beer cans or something?
Oh, when I was on vacation. Out in Wyoming, you can do that sort of thing. As a matter of fact, I could have done both. I don't have an open container law either. And I got one other thing from Wednesday night. Hats off to you, Mr. O'Mara.
Yes?
Bushmills works very, very well. Oh, it's good. An extremely effective whiskey, and even the hangover is kind of tolerable.
Go ahead, Wendell. I encourage you to drink more.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is.
Really.
Congratulations.
Well, Wendell, you're the last
person. My drops to your peeps.
I'll send you a bottle.
Oh, cool.
Absolutely.
You're the last person whose feelings I would intentionally hurt.
Well, thanks.
So I apologize. Way down on the list.
Yeah, but Wendell,
I appreciate it.
Thicken that skin up. Thicken that, because, I mean, come on.
You're right. I do need.
On this show, in this inner circle here, everybody dumps on everybody. You know
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I need to.
All right, you're scaring me, Morgan. Right, get out of here.
Thank you. That's Wendell Hall, our engineer.
There he goes. He is sensitive.
Look for him this weekend on America's Most Wanted.
Wendell has been working here, less than a year?
Look for him on an upcoming edition of Cops.
Would that be the third time we've had to go through this?
Second or third?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe fourth.
Maybe. But I think every time we do, it might get better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I'm genuinely fond of Wendell. He's a very competent engineer.
And he put it to you in a very... He said, it hurts my feelings. It was actually a very nice compliment.
Very nice compliment.
When someone I admire considers me a nuisance.
Also, I think, though, very telling when he mentioned about the firing darts at our picture, when he mentioned that he was missing your picture, but... Mm-hmm. I got the message there.
Yeah, but I tell you, when he finally goes off the deep end, those bullets aren't going to make any choice between the two of us. I mean, they'll be flying all over here.
Maybe he'll just line us up together, just kill us both with one bullet. See, I told you it would work. Two heads, one bullet. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, you got to stop busting Buzz's chops, man. The poor guy's ready to cry over there.
I'm all right. For Wendell, let me hold up Buzz as an example. Buzz has a very thick skin. Buzz does is the brunt of a lot of humor around here.
Everybody on this show gets their balls
everybody
busted.
Does.
Me included, Mike yes. included. This everybody does. Right. Christ.
It's the way it works.
Well, see, when you do something goofy like almost burn your house down 3 times, they don't bust your balls that bad.
You know why? Because I bust my own balls,
that's right?
Moron?
That's right. Are you... I mean, that really is the way it works.
Okay.
I mean, the only time Don is not going to get his balls busted is because when he does something, he's coming in and talking about it.
That's true. He does. Mm-hmm. He does jump on himself.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, I would have jumped on myself if I had a little more time today. Just didn't have time. Not enough time to fit in a quick J.O.
Hey.
All right.
Another thing. Don't miss the Talladega race this weekend. You're going to see some awesome crashing.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye.
We'll see you down, Helio.
Okay. Goodbye.
Whatever.
God. Whatever.
Let's everybody just relax.
Right.
I don't know. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
What's happening, fellas?
Hey.
What happened to y'all in Memphis?
I have no idea. What are you talking about?
Well, y'all were on here in Memphis for a few days.
Yeah.
Now you're off.
Oh, what? Oh, now? No. I'm not going to get in. I'm not going to get in a bad mood. I'm not going to get in. Well, I was
get
really happy.
Mood.
All right. Excuse me, sir. I was very happy about the fact that we were on in Memphis. Are you saying they pulled? Did they pull us off the air, buddy?
One.
Well,
y'all are on Monday and Tuesday, and Joel Brown, or one of them doctors, is on now.
Have they moved the time of our show?
I haven't heard. Basketball bugs.
They're not saying anything.
Okay. They're not saying anything.
I'll wait and check with the network, but thank you, though.
No problem.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Why is it always guys like that that let us know that? Guys that they get more joy out of giving bad news than anything. Hey, you're off the air, and let me mention every other radio show that's syndicated in America.
Hello, Buck.
Rob Spiewak, Rob Spiewak, so cute, so cute, Rob Spiewak.
Okay, thank you.
Little Ricky Martin counts.
Little Ricky Martin tribute to Rob Spiewak, everybody.
I think that was a Ricky Martin song, right? That
I don't know.
She's All I Ever Need?
I was just lost in the lyric.
How come Ricky Martin wasn't down there for Elian Gonzalez? I mean, I know he's not Cuban, but he's close enough.
You have to be a pretty big Ricky Martin fan to be able to recognize the song from that phone call, I would think.
Yeah. Yes, you would. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
How's it going?
His tight olive skin.
Yeah.
I wanted to speak to Mike, the king of feces.
Oh, well, it's so nice that I have a new term on this show. Thank you. Guess what?
Hey, I was wondering if you've ever had a flicker.
A flicker?
If you've ever made a flicker.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about when you plunge a toilet and it explodes and gets on you?
No, this is one that that's increasingly long, and as it exits, it falls forward and it flicks you in the beanbag.
No, I can't.
You mean a turd?
Yeah.
No.
You mean you're taking a crap that is so big, like an anaconda, that it comes around and slaps you in the nuts?
Exactly.
Never. No. I have never had that happen.
But send us a picture.
Okay, and then I was wondering if you know why it comes to a point at the end.
Because you're pinching it off.
No, it's so your hole won't slam shut.
No.
See, he was trying to make a joke, and you were giving him actual, real medical advice.
I take feces very seriously.
Sure. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Great. Hey, I have a question for Buzz.
All right, I'll try.
Buzz, were you in L.A. during the riots as a broadcaster?
No, sir, I was not.
Okay. There's a song on Dr. Dre's album, The Chronic, number 4, I think. There's a newscaster in the background talking about stuff that sounds just like you did.
Hmm.
Anyway, thanks.
Okay. Sorry. Bye-bye.
I can't speak. I'm dumb.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Some callers don't need any analysis.
Great call. Last call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I really think the guy with the placenta should have won yesterday.
Well, everybody's a second guesser, aren't they? The guy was not able to prove to us that the cow was dragging the placenta around.
You guys have never seen a cow placenta, though. I used to live on a dairy, and it's the most disgusting thing in the world.
Well, you know, we thought it was a good call, but unfortunately, we didn't get a cow sound of any kind. We didn't get a moo, and he actually never caught the cow, so it was just a guy running around like it could have been in his backyard.
But, you know, that really reminds me, the guy that really should have won that contest was the guy from a crematorium who got fired.
Right.
We have to do a break, and I want to call and find out his situation and see if he really got fired.
I hope he didn't.
For calling this show from the crematorium yesterday. Maybe we can help him out. Thank you, though.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Sorry, bye. A real placenta lover out there. Sorry about that. And I wanted to point out one more quick thing. I got a fantastic letter today from the people at ilovebacon.com.
Oh, ilovebacon.com.
No, it's not what you think.
Oh.
It has nothing to do with food. Oh. They have a great page of Kathy Lee Braless. A lot of the pictures that I've pulled off the web before and have brought in to you guys, along with some that I haven't seen before. And if you would like to see Kathy Lee's grade A boobs,
when she's been braless on the Regis show, go to ilovebacon.com because they have a fantastic page just called Nice Rack.
Wow.
As you can see, they're all pictures of Kathy Lee braless.
Boy, that one in the middle right is like completely see-through.
Right. I told you all along. She's got a nice rack.
That's fantastic.
So anyway, I just wanted to give them a quick hit because they sent me a copy of it and they put it in J.O.-proof plastic.
Ah, now, she would claim, if you go by what she's saying, and who knows whether that's true or not, she would say that those are flimsy brassieres she wears. Very, very sheer brassieres that she wears, but she always wears a bra.
I don't know. She's wearing 6 different outfits here. And either that 6 different very flimsy bras where you could see her nipple and areola all the way through.
I mean, it looks like she's wearing absolutely nothing.
Right. Oh, it's good. Okay, I got to take one more call. A guy who can explain the Padres uniform. Okay, Eric.
Don and Mike.
Eric, what is up with those queer unis?
They're doing that, or they did that yesterday as a tribute to the contingency for the Marine Corps and the Navy bases that are out in San Diego. I was stationed out there about 10 years ago, and they take the senior recruit class from the Marine and from the Naval base out there to opening day, and then periodically they'll take them to a ball game. But they were talking about that on SportsCenter last night.
What's the worst uniforms I've ever seen.
What's the name of the base?
I hated that.
What's the name of the base that's right next to the airport out there?
Well, you've got, you've got...
Okay, thanks a lot. Don't worry about it. It's not important. Thank you.
Why don't they just have the Atlanta Braves wear Confederate uniforms?
Pendleton is the right, Marine Air, or the
that's
Marine
it.
Base.
Thank you.
And then,
thank you very much. Thank you.
Nimitz is the Navy base.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Camp Pendleton. We've been out there in San Diego. That's that huge place that's right next to the airport.
Those are butt-ugly uniforms. Just awful.
So every city you're saying should have a special tribute day for whatever they're known for, right?
Yeah, right.
Be incredible.
Right.
San Francisco Giants, you know, I mean, I can't wait till that opening day. When they get with the theme of the city.
Who's wearing towels? Like if they were going to the glory holes. Come out with sandals and towels on.
They're swearing thongs with towels.
Or maybe they wear those Et Tu Brute things in their hair. You know,
that would be the perfect uniform.
The leaves and stuff, like that they wore in Animal House.
Glue a little visor to it and be a regular baseball.
Listen, there were the Touchstones. I think I call in to win right now. Be the 100th person to call Toya, Lisa. They're both standing by today. Our phone number is 877-365-3636.
Welcome to the home owner of the San Francisco Giants. Here they are, wearing their opening day towels.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Right, Hank. Time for some station breaks. But we just checked.
Yeah,
we're still on in Memphis. They're just running at a 1-hour tape delay.
Ah, okay, good.
And the radio station there is WWGQ. Seattle, Washington. Radio station KRKO. And in Webster, Mass., WGFP.
GFP?
Right.
Rest easy and know that every broadcast brings you one day closer to the peaceful, tranquil, eternal sleep of the dead. So enjoy the Don and Mike Show.
Those call letters mean it's a great place.
Great effing place. Great effing people. Don't you think like me when you see an ad for is it Miller Genuine Draft? They call it MGD.
Right.
I always just think of the GD part.
Oh yeah,
Miller. God damn, that's a good beer. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, caller 100.
Right, yes you are. What's your name?
Jeff in Baltimore.
Jeff, thank you for listening. Jeff, juice for you. You won a fresh Samantha prize pack. Enjoy fresh Samantha juices today, available at delis and groceries throughout America. But wait, there's still more. You qualify for the big free money show, where we're going to give away thousands of dollars two weeks from today.
Okay.
2 weeks from today, when we pay the rents and the mortgages for the month of April.
Oh, wonderful.
How much do you pay every month in rent or mortgage?
I think it's about $1,200.
That's a nice big one. Love to make that happen for you.
That'd be great.
We're going to pay at least 10 rents and mortgages 2 weeks from today.
Oh, that's always a great show, too, and we give away a ton of money.
Yeah. So make sure today would be the 21st.
No, it would not. Today is the 14th. 2 weeks from today would
28th.
Be the 28th.
I want to make sure I'm here listening.
That's what I said, right? 2 weeks from today.
I heard you loud and clear. You said 2 weeks from today.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thank you.
We're a little hinky on these dates anyway. I mean, pardon us for all being a little jittery about this because we were trying to work our travel schedules out and somehow we just omitted an entire week and I was the leader of that parade.
Thank you. Hold on, please.
Okay.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Hold on just a second. Okay. Now we have Kuiper on the show today.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
This is the only time of the year that we let that lizard, Mel Kuiper Jr., come on the show because we will get him to tell us us what he believes to be the top five picks in tomorrow's NFL draft.
This is a guy, if you've never seen him, this is a guy, this is all he does all year. This is his number one thing, and he knows more than anybody. Oh, yeah. The guy could be, actually, you know, if they would tolerate him in a front office in the NFL, the guy could be a GM for any team in the league because he knows so much about the draft.
And we've had good shows with Mel Kiper Jr., and we've had bad shows with Mel Kiper Jr.
Started out very badly with him.
Yes, it did, and it always has the potential to blow up and be bad. So we'll get him on in a couple of seconds. Also, we'll be giving Lisa a sex quiz today.
Good.
Let me promo this. Tomorrow, NFL Draft Day. You know I do the pregame show for the Redskins Radio Network. I'll be out at FedEx Field tomorrow. Doors will open at 11 a.m.
The big day when the Redskins are going to get Blake Carrington.
We bring in the Redskins draft show starting at 11 tomorrow morning here on WJFK-FM. And they're going to fly all the draft choices from New York to FedEx Field. And they'll come right via Danny Boy's helicopter, and they'll come right up and say hi to us.
It'll be so exciting when you know John Forsythe gets off the plane.
Danny.
Here comes Blake Carrington.
Excited about it. See you tomorrow at FedEx Field.
It's going to be a big day. Everybody's going to be watching. This will probably be one of the, they're saying this is going to be one of the most watched and noticed drafts in NFL history. It's just for some reason there's so much talent there and a lot going on. Everybody's going to be hot for it.
I think it'll be boring past the first five selections, but for those first five, that'll be exciting.
How many selections are you going to be on the air for?
We're on the air for 3 hours, so we'll be on the air probably for...
Yeah, but I mean, doesn't ESPN go into the second day?
Yeah, oh, Jesus Christ, ESPN, I think they do 7 hours tomorrow, then three more on ESPN2, and then maybe the same, yes, Buzz?
Nothing, Buzz was just, pardon me, that was me getting distracted, but every day Buzz puts up the stock market report there, and that's a noteworthy number that he put up today for anybody that has even a modest interest in the stock market.
All right, what?
The market went down 611 points today.
Is it still over 10,000?
Just barely, yes. So it hasn't gone in the nines yet.
Then don't worry.
Thank you.
Everything's cool.
Everything's fine.
I told you that's always been my philosophy. If it doesn't go below 10,000, I don't blow my brains out.
That's good.
Everything is fine. Now listen, on yesterday's episode, we were playing the game, where are you listening to this show right now?
One of our best episodes, absolutely.
And we had a guy, this guy should have been the winner. I swear to God he should have. This guy called us from a crematorium where he was burning bodies. He had an 83-year-old woman he just put in the oven.
Yes, he was cremating an elderly woman.
And right as we were finding out all about this job and pretty much getting ready to end the contest after the first telephone call, so we thought we'd never get a better call than a guy who was actually burning human flesh on the show.
Pretty amazing job.
Well, he had to be excused for a minute. He put us on hold, and then he came back, and then he said, guys, I gotta go.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble. Now, we went back and listened to the tape this morning. He never mentioned the name of the crematorium that he works at.
Well, that's a good thing. He did, however, and this is where he may have gotten in trouble, he did mention, you know, the statistics about the woman that he was doing.
Her age,
and date of birth and all that. And that probably could be construed as a rule violation. Who knows? I'm sure a place like that has all sorts of rules.
So he called back to tell us he got fired. And we're going to see if we can help him out. Well, get him another job burning bodies.
They might be extra sensitive. There's been a lot of scrutiny lately in this industry.
Really?
Yes. There have been a few unscrupulous guys in the business.
It's not like he told us he had been having sex with the dead body or anything. We didn't ask him that, did we?
You had reached a second.
Yeah.
All right, hold on a second.
They like to keep a lot of this secret.
About the process and stuff that goes into that?
Pay no attention to the man behind the crematory.
Yeah, no wonder they want to keep it secret. You know the details. I mean, who'd want to know that? I don't like to think about it.
Oh, it was a great segment on this show yesterday.
He was the clear winner. I mean, there was nobody that could have touched him until, you know, he had to get off the line.
Hello?
Yes, hello. This is... Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, goodness.
Hi, do you mind being on the air with us?
You know, I don't know if I'm real comfortable with that.
Okay, right. Hold on a second.
Hold on a second, please. Where's my card, Rob?
Sorry.
Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us?
I think you had it perfect.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I almost got it memorized.
Okay.
All right, well, Rob, pick up and ask that lady. Ask that lady if we could talk to Jeffrey.
Hey, lady?
Rob made me laugh. He just did that, and he went back and he sat down. You know, when it's kind of like his normal thing to pick up the phone, but then you had to tell him.
He's trying to find out where Jeffrey, the cremologist, is.
Right.
Cremology.
Cremology.
The burner. Burning another body, having a bug.
So he called back later, and he was the one who told us that he had been fired.
Yes. True that.
She has a bit of news for
you. Who is this, Rob? Is this his wife?
Not
at. I bet it's his mommy. Did she say she'll go on the air
now? No, it's not his mommy.
Not his mommy?
Yeah, it's his mommy.
Wife or girlfriend?
Girlfriend.
Girlfriend. Okay,
all right. Hi there. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Well, listen, thanks for coming on the air with us.
Oh, no problem.
Where is Jeffrey?
He is slaving away.
Did he Good. Get, so he didn't get fired?
So he didn't get fired.
Oh, well, excellent.
But he got yelled at, right? He got reprimanded?
He did get reprimanded.
Okay. All right. So he wasn't, but he still got his job.
Yes, he does.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Does it creep you out to make love to a cremologist?
Not at all.
And he seems to enjoy his work?
Well, it wouldn't go that far.
What was your reaction when you first started dating him and he said that he was in this line of work?
Oh, that was, we had been together long before he started doing this.
Oh, okay. All right, so you were there when he took the job.
Oh, yes, I was.
When he comes home at night at the end of a long day when he's burned maybe 8, 9, 10 bodies, does he smell of death?
No, not at all.
Good. Not at all. And so he seems to handle it, and you guys seem to handle it okay. You guys live together?
Yes.
And he seems to handle the job. He doesn't wake up in the middle of the night just going, make them stop! He doesn't do that?
No.
Wow. Right.
You ever notice people under his fingernails?
Okay.
Okay, yeah.
All right, so he did not get fired. See, he called us late in the show yesterday and was all upset. And he told one of our phone screeners that, in fact, he had been fired.
Well, no, he said he was fired. He spoke with his boss after that, and it looks as if everything is just going to be a reprimand, and that's it.
Oh, okay, all right. So he thought he was going to be fired.
He thought he was going to be fired, and you know, he may have gotten just there on the edge a little bit, I think. But he was on his break, and he wanted to win $100.
Sure. Yeah, listen, there were more power to him, for goodness sakes. I think he did nothing but make more people aware of how fantastic it would be when you die to have a nice strapping young man put you in a plastic bag and then in a cardboard box and then put you on a conveyor belt that takes you into an oven.
No conveyor belt.
No conveyor belt. They just wheel you in there, right? It's on like wheels.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, the whole thing is gross. You'll admit that the job is gross?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's why he should have won the $100.
He doesn't come home with nice new pieces of jewelry for you, does he?
Never.
I guess the funeral home would get to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
they
get that.
What?
Well, honey?
Nothing.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, listen. Just tell Jeffrey we called.
Okay, I sure will.
And he's in our thoughts.
All right.
He's our favorite cremologist.
Well, he'll be happy to hear that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for talking to us on the radio.
No problem.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
You know, it's amazing that she sounded that perky and that nice, but I know the truth by just talking to her. I could tell it was in her voice.
Yes.
She is the undead.
Ah!
Right, she's sitting there.
One night she was in one of those boxes, and all of a sudden she just sat up and she says, hey! Yeah. Hey, dude!
He reanimated her, Don.
Oh, Reanimator!
Yeah,
great movie.
Reanimator.
I love Reanimator.
With the guy's head in the box.
All right, well, that's good news. The guy didn't get canned.
Very good.
Okay, yeah. Fantastic. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Yes, I want to talk to Don and Mike.
Yes, you're talking to us. Hello.
Oh, hey. Regarding Jeffrey and his situation.
Yeah.
I bet he had heated words with his boss. Sparks probably flew, you know. Hello?
Crickets always get the guy off the line.
Just a couple seconds too late with the cricket.
Has anybody mentioned his last name? Dahmer?
Hello.
Hello. What's that? What was that?
I don't know. There's some kind of feedback. Ow, man.
Could it be every time I say Jeffrey Dahmer?
I don't think so. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Sam Huff.
Hey, Sam, buddy.
How's everybody doing today?
We're doing great. How are you, Sammy?
Oh, I tell you what, I'm just great.
Sam, you know what? Hold on a second. These...
like to make a call.
These stupid telephones. Hello? Well, yes, Sam.
How's everybody doing?
We're doing great, Sam.
Oh, I tell you what, I was listening to you guys live from my surrogate hometown, New York City, and it sounded great.
I wonder how long it'll be till Sam's in that box.
Oh, God.
Being carted off to be burned.
That's me, Sam Huff, the most burning up linebacker in the history of the NFL.
That's terrific. Of course, I guess the day that you're wheeled into that big
big flame, I guess.
The whole earth will come up on the short end of the stick.
Hello, Chris. Chris, buddy.
Hey, you have to forgive me. I'm sick. But I had a mortician one time bring me a jar full of teeth to melt down into some jewelry. I have people bring their teeth in all the time, but never a mortician. He had like a bucket full of teeth.
Oh my God. You're talking about teeth with like gold fillings.
Teeth to melt down into jewelry.
So imagine that. You're laying there dead. Guy gets out a pair of pliers, yanks out your teeth, puts them all in a big bucket, and when the bucket is full, he brings them to this guy and says, make me a nice medallion.
I don't know if that's ethical. No, I think that's probably illegal.
Yeah. Really, you think?
Yeah.
I did not do it. I did not want to.
I think that might be wrong.
I forgot to tell you all this yesterday. When I used to deliver furniture, one time I had to deliver a sofa to a family that did, they had what their specialty was a less expensive funeral home. And they said, I mean, it was sort of creepy when we got there. And they said, if you would, take this old sofa and put it back behind the garage by the barrels. And I thought they were talking about trash cans. I said, no problem. I took it back there, and it was huge 55-gallon things of embalming fluid. Oh. So I just left it by the barrel.
Hello, Jeff.
Thank you, Don, very much for taking my call. Hi, Buzz.
Hi. You know, I don't know what is scarier, that story or the thought that Rob actually at some point was lifting furniture for a living.
Against his will.
Yes, Jeff.
Don, I was in with a group of friends last night, and I was giving your sex quiz, and a question came up, and I know that you're the only one that can answer this question for us.
All right, lay it on me.
We were debating on whether or not the majority of women take it in the butt. And my vote was no.
I wish the answer was no, but I am sad to tell you that I would believe out of every 10 women, probably 6 out of 10 take it in the butt.
I disagree with you.
No, I disagree. I would say that probably the vast majority do not.
Of the girls who call this show?
Well, yeah.
You know, it's more like 9 out of 10 who take it up the butt.
I still think it's not a common sexual practice among heterosexual women. I don't think that the majority
of them
look right here
in this room.
Okay.
In this room, you have Mrs. Burbank, who takes it in the butt.
No.
And Mrs. Spiewak, who takes it in the butt.
Boy, that's right. Statistically, if you do it that way.
I don't think either one of them make it a regular practice.
But it's happened.
It has happened, yes.
Okay.
Not the same as happening
now.
When you put it that way,
it's interesting. Because you're saying, you know, it doesn't have to be a regular, obviously, in both their cases, right. Not certainly common, but it has happened.
I think Rob does it to his wife like that all the time.
But we'll have to ask him.
I think so.
He's shaking his head. He's saying no.
When's the last time you gave it to your wife in the butt?
It's been over a year, and that was the only time with her. And just frankly, it didn't go well.
And Buzz, when's the last time you gave it to your missus?
I think it's been over 5 years, and it was only once or twice, I think.
Okay. You know, I'm starting to come over to your side a little bit when I hear these guys talking about
this. Welcome, Mike.
Wow.
We welcome you with open arms and clenched buttocks. Hello, Eric. That man was thinking it up the butt.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, man, I don't know why. You know, really, why am I laughing at that guy?
We're all wondering that.
It just encourages him.
I don't know. Well, speaking of the sex quiz, I think today would be a great day to give it to Lisa the Nympho.
Yes, and you called her that, and I want to know where you're getting your intelligence on this.
Well, from the Minister of Information.
We'll find out also from Lisa.
I'm getting a lot of my inside information about Lisa from Charlie Broyhill.
And what if Lisa takes the quiz, and all of a sudden she comes up short in some of those areas?
Then she's lying. According to Charlie. Hello. What's your name? Kaya?
Kaya. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi, Kaya.
Kaya, I thought that's a girl's name.
No. That's actually my nickname. Got a great story for you. I was a telemarketer.
What is your real name?
My real name is Glenn.
Glenn. Why do they call you Kaya?
Because I'm a DJ. I used to spin reggae music, and that was my nickname. Bob Marley wrote a record called Kaya, and that was my favorite track.
Kaya.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Kaya, right. All right.
Yeah. Well, I got a great story for you.
What?
I was a telemarketer back in high school, and this was in Pennsylvania, and we had to call to sell waterproofing to different people. So we called this one house number, and we got a message from a gentleman that started speaking about
like he basically offered a low budget funeral, and he had 10 homeless people come mourn and sing at your grave site, and he would bury you in a cardboard box.
Mm-hmm.
The weirdest thing was, is, you know, we passed the number around to just about everybody in the office. They all called him, and he had caller ID at the time, and he was furious. He ended up calling us back and freaking out, and told us that we shouldn't be making fun of his business. And
let me tell you something, frankly, when I die, I will tell whoever buries me, please don't waste thousands of dollars getting me like a nice cedar mahogany. Just put me in a hefty bag.
You know, a lot of people, a lot of elderly people, people that are at the end of the string. A lot of people feel the same way you do.
Put me in the ground. What a gigantic waste of money! I mean, take that money and go have a Carnival cruise or something.
A lot of people feel that way.
Don't spend a lot. As a matter of fact, hell, just drive out in the middle of the country and just push me out.
I have one request for when I go to the happy hunting ground. And this is serious. You know how they have the old Irish wake and stuff like that? I don't have to be there for it. That's the only thing. I mean, in the old Irish wakes, they bring the casket, the closed casket, and sit it up on the bar. But my request is without the casket. I don't have to be there. Have a big party. I'd like to have one last slam dunk party.
We will.
Thank you.
Hello, Ryan.
Thank you.
Hi. This is Brian up in Green Bay.
We might be having that party next Thursday night in New York. Yeah, Ryan. Hello, Ryan in Green Bay.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. I'm kind of disappointed in you two guys in the first place because
really?
You guys didn't work into your deal to go down to New York.
You mean up to New York?
A helicopter.
You mean up to New York?
Or up to New York, excuse me. Up to New York.
Let me just tell you two reasons, a two-word answer. Vic Morrow. Mm-hmm. That is the reason we didn't take a helicopter to New York. It was a 38-minute plane trip.
You got to get a fast helicopter.
No, that's really, that's more plane than helicopter. I mean, the helicopters are the short hops.
Yeah. Yeah, come on, what do you mean you're disappointed in us, please?
I'm disappointed in you.
Get your own personalized jet or plane to take you back and forth so your wives don't have to pick you up in the parking lot.
You mean our wives?
Yeah.
Listen, I'm disappointed in you that you are calling us from Green Bay and you want to talk about how come we didn't take a helicopter to New York when I'd rather much rather ask you about Mark Chamora, excuse me, about Lester Burnham.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't have no hot tub. Sorry, can't answer that question.
What is the latest that you hear up in Green Bay? What's the scuttlebutt about Mr. Mark Chamora?
Well, what's the scuttle? Oh, the scuttle is they're trying to hook him with anything that they possibly can up here.
So you don't believe that he is guilty of any wrongdoing?
I don't really believe so, no.
Okay, there you
go. I think he was in changing clothes, and a 17-year-old girl walked in on him and wanted something, and he turned it down.
I believe that this is how your average Packer fan in Cheesehead Land is reacting to the story about Lester Burnham.
Interesting.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
No, thank you, Dare.
No.
Okay, Dare.
Oh, forgot to tell him we're very disappointed in him, too.
Hello, Kevin.
Hey there.
Hey, buddy.
I don't know if this happened to any of you fellas, but one night with my girlfriend, I was feeling maybe a little too confident, and on the backstroke, I went possibly a little farther than I should have, and on the downstroke...
Are you talking about no-no sex?
She had no-no sex on the downstroke, but that stopped all sex.
What? I don't understand this.
I pulled out a little bit too far on that upstroke, and it went right back in the low spot on the downstroke.
I understand. Were having regular intercourse.
Oh, yeah.
And you accidentally...
Well, it wasn't regular. It was pretty good.
You poked into the no-no spot.
And boy, did everything stop real quick.
You didn't get very far with that. It was an error in aim, correct?
No, not in aim, but, you know, it was just in part of the...
Listen, that's what you got to have your girlfriend or whoever you were with. You got to have her do what my wife does. My wife's done this the whole time we've been married, all 18 years. Every time we have intercourse, she reaches down and actually aims me. She really does. What's wrong, Mike?
I'd like to say thank you for sharing.
Good information.
Thank you very much for sharing.
But there's a lot of guys out there where they have sex with their wives or girlfriends that
you're not unusual in any way, shape, or form.
That the woman, you know, aims just to make sure that you go and to the right place.
What I was going to say to this guy is that trying to keep this as legal as I can when we're discussing it is what you're doing. You know that when that happens. It's like you're getting a closed door. I mean, you couldn't, you know, that couldn't happen and all of a sudden you would just go all the way.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? That couldn't have happened.
It can happen, and it did.
How could it happen, though?
You mean you inserted...
You pulled out of the one spot and went, and then just... Everything was so lubed up, and her legs were up in a position such as when I came back down.
So what you mean is you just came out of one and went right into the other.
You got it.
Accident or on purpose, really?
Total accident.
Okay.
Because that was the end of it.
Yeah, I imagine
it. Straightener,
did she go call the police?
No, but man.
And I must tell you that, you know, lubed or otherwise, it would seem to me that if it was that easy to have that happen, she might have had that happen before.
Yeah, listen,
it wasn't a pretty experience, I'm just saying.
Now listen, I'm telling you, unless she had a stick of creamery butter back there,
right?
You know, unless absolutely. If she's not having any experience, that baby wouldn't just slip in there like a missile going into a silo.
Absolutely.
Well, it depends on how far you're falling back.
No. You would have met with some resistance.
Saying there wasn't some resistance.
Yeah, so see, the thing is, I think we got to tell the truth here, and the truth is, this wasn't an accident. You were going...
Sodomy!
Yeah, that's it.
You sodomized her.
Yeah. And she was having none of it.
Well, you should have been there.
Oh, gee, I wish we were. Thank you, though. Thank you, Kevin.
Goodbye.
And the thing that you were saying earlier that just surprised me for a moment, but that you're not...
That she
alone.
Aims me?
You're not alone in that at all.
Yeah, of course. She games me every time.
We're not all, you know, magicians.
Hello, Kevin.
Yes.
Yeah, hi.
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 I wanted to tell you guys, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer there yesterday gave you about 20 to 30 minutes of good radio. Four guys making $7 or $8 an hour. Why don't you give them $100 anyway?
Because this is not the Red Cross. Okay?
This is not the Red Cross.
Right, this is not a charity operation. I'm sure there's lots of deserving people listening to us right now who could use some money. Well, let them get off their ass and go get a job.
And, you know, at the time, yesterday, he hung up on us, had to get off the line. So there was no time to deal with that, and we had to move on with the contest and give the money to the winner.
I understand, but...
If you really feel that strongly, I'll give you his phone number, and you can give him $100.
All right, do that.
Okay, I will.
That's terrific. Would you mind doing that?
No.
That is so nice. You obviously make a good living.
Sure.
That's very nice of you.
Good. Hold on, please. Hold on. You know what I'll do? Let me just... Robbie, where's that number? Did I throw that number away?
Of the guy, of Jeffrey's?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. We'll give Jeffrey the number.
He just call his girlfriend right now.
You can say we've got a listener that was so entertained by your segment at the crematory that you...
Donald Trump's on the phone.
Absolutely. A man of means. Wants to take care of him.
Hello?
Yes. Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us again?
Oh, sure.
Okay, listen, I got a guy on the phone.
I'm listening.
Well, guess what?
He wants to... He hung up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sure. Mr. Big Shot.
Yeah, of course he hung up. Well, that was the whole exercise in calling him. All right, thanks for taking our call again.
Okay, no problem.
All
bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye.
It's easy to hide behind a telephone, son.
It sure is. Mm-hmm. Okay, time out. We'll be right back.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right. We have him on once a year. He always tells us good stuff about the draft.
He knows his stuff, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's welcome back Mel Kiper, Jr. Mel.
Don, Mike, how you guys doing?
Buddy, Mel Kiper, Jr.
Draft Day genius with us every year. We really appreciate that if we don't tell you, Mel. Thanks for coming on the show again.
No problem.
Draft guru. Before we ask you about your picks, Mel, how pissed are you that now there seems to be a cottage industry of guys like you? I mean, the other day in Rudy's newspaper, I read where they had your picture and they had... Just this guy. Did you see the picture of this guy who lives in one room with his mother in New York?
And he just studies it all the time?
Yeah, all the time. They had four or five guys who are draft gurus. Were you the first of the draft gurus, Mel?
Well, I think there were a couple people back in those days, you guys, but I think it's good. I think it's good for the industry that even on the internet people can go for all this information. And the more people talk about the draft, talk about prospect evaluation, talk about college and pro football, I think it just speaks volumes, you guys, of the popularity of the National Football League that is discussed 12 months a year. Andy Pollan and I do a show every Saturday and Sunday on ESPN Radio from the Zone in Baltimore, and we could actually do it and then talk 12 months a year, NFL, and do three or four segments every week. So I think in terms of what you're talking about with people putting out reports and doing things like I do, the more people, the better off everybody is.
Well, no, see, that's where we're different. Because if I was you, I'd be pissed. I think I came up with this. This is my gig. All these other guys, you had pee in their Wheaties. But
hey, you know, there's competition everywhere, you guys.
I know. You got to get the killer instinct, though, Mel.
Hey, there's more than one radio show, right, you guys?
Absolutely. More than one radio show, and we hope all the other ones die. die a flaming death.
And then they have to go to that
cremologist in Sacramento. He puts their bodies into a bag, into a box, and then burns them.
Yes. Mel, you know, sometime you should stop by and maybe you could get in touch with our dark side a little bit.
I talked to Rudy Marsky a lot, you know.
Now, Mel, I'm not going to ask you any secrets here that I think you maybe haven't already put out in your own publications or on ESPN.com, but being as the draft is just tomorrow, I think we can get maybe your freshest view. What are your top five picks as you hear it right now for tomorrow's draft?
Well, I think certainly right now, you know, and this can change because it's all about signability, that the Cleveland Browns look like they will lean to Courtney Brown and select Courtney Brown number one overall, which gives the Washington Redskins an opportunity to bring in the two players that they really so desperately need. And I've always said in order to have a successful draft, the Redskins had to have LeVar Arrington as part of the equation. It looks like Arrington and Chris Samuels will be the two picks for the Redskins at 2 and 3. Then Cincinnati at 4 is able to select Peter Work, wide receiver from Florida State, who at one time was projected to be possibly the first overall pick. And 5, the Baltimore Ravens on the pick from the Atlanta Falcons, debating between the receiver, Travis Taylor, or the defensive tackle, Corey Simon. Travis Taylor out of Florida, Simon out of Florida State.
I'm curious about the guy, Peter Warwick, and his stock has fallen just a little bit, and I'd like your thoughts as to why you think that's happened.
Well, 3 things, really. 5'10.5", not 6'1", 6'2", on the height factor, the 4'6", 40", when you're only, like I say, 5'10.5", and then the off-the-field concern. So, it's not something where he dropped that far. You're talking about the Redskins, you know, needing help at outside linebacker and left tackle. Cleveland opted to go with Courtney Brown, who had a great workout, whereas Peter Warwick did not. And to be the 4th pick overall is not that bad, you guys. Going to the Cincinnati Bengals, I mean, a team that's trying to restructure things, maybe dealing Carl Pickens, Corey Dillon not happy, but it looks like he may remain there, although Kansas City's interested. So it's going to be a chance for Peter Warwick and Akili Smith, who's the new quarterback there, second-year pro.
Listen, could you go to Las Vegas, and can you bet on who's going to be the first pick in the draft? Do they actually take bets on that?
I have absolutely no idea. I don't know.
I'm curious. Maybe somebody listening to us out there.
I'm sure you can wager on everything. Sure. That would be the type of thing where you'd really be able to bet on that. And, you know, you got that human factor, so why not? And surprises happen. I think Mel would probably say that, too. You never know until it's done exactly what's going to happen.
No, and a couple of months ago, if you'd have had a projection, like I say, back in January, February, would have definitely been Peter Warwick. It would have been an obvious pick because the Cavs needing the big-time weapon. You have Kevin Johnson. You figure you bring in Peter Warwick. And then all of a sudden that changed, and it was kind of a back-and-forth.
Back-and-forth.
Then Brown, then Arrington, then Brown. So you really had 3 players that have all been projected to the Cleveland Browns since this whole process began when we started projecting things back in January.
All right. Well, listen, Mel, that's it. You're off the hook. That's all we needed from you. Your top 5 picks.
And, you know, the nice thing about all those other guys that are coming along doing what he does is this is one racket where you get the track record, and yours is pretty good, and I hope it stays that way.
Hope so. You guys enjoyed it, Dynamite. Take care, man.
Thank you.
You got it.
All right, bye-bye. All right, bye-bye there, Mel.
You go year-to-year with him. Now, you're the bigger football fan of the two of us, and you go year-to-year with him. You go 1 year on, 1 year off. This was the year where you were, you know, I can tell when you started with the...
Well, it's like I'm interested in what he has to say.
You actually know a lot about, probably more this year, since you are doing a draft day show, you probably know more about it this year than you ever have before.
And tomorrow, if you listen to when we cover the draft, that's how I'll be talking.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be talking to you like this for the entire show. Go out the Redskins with the number 2 pick they're looking at. They like Courtney Brown. But Mary Erickson will be left, and then Samuels, and then you've got Peter Warwick dropping to the number 4 spot.
When we're talking, let's say, the Washington Redskins, Don, we're talking about how many picks do they have in the first round?
2, number 2, and number 3.
All right, Don, I'd like,
3.
Since you have been doing your research, I would like you to give me your prospect for the Redskins in the 8th round. Who are they?
I have no friggin' idea. I'll be off the air by that time. I really don't know. It'll be Martini City by the time the Redskins have their 8th round pick. They can pick Dick in the 8th round. They can pick the cheese out of my ass in the 8th round.
Martini City.
I will not be paying attention.
All right, well, you know, he's good one day a year. Mel Kiper Jr., he is the definitive draft guru.
Now, Rudy, are you proud of us? We didn't ask him about his hair. We certainly didn't insult him to his face. We did behind his back. And we didn't give him the sex quiz.
Well, the sex quiz is important because he flunked it last time, and he was, that's the one thing he said when I asked him this week. He says, hey, no, they're not going to ask me all these sex questions. There was something like Jacqueline Smith about picking her nose or something you guys were asking the last time that he remembered.
He has one of those kind of minds, doesn't he, Rudy, where he, like, remembers everything. I mean,
yeah.
You would figure this guy does a whole hell of a lot of radio shows. He's got his own radio show. He's got his publication. He's on ESPN.
I remember back in 1992 when I was on with Don Mike. They asked me about Jacqueline Smith eating their boogers, and I said right there that this is the heaviest show that I don't want to be associated with.
A lot of talking about the draft. Don't need to talk about boogers. Boogers are verboten when it comes to Mel Kiple Jr.
Well, one time we had Mel on, and they had to pull away to go on SportsCenter, and Don wouldn't talk to him for 3 years after that.
I remember that.
Well, the guy had a firm time commitment to be on this show. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm as bad as Mel Kiper is, because I remember he was supposed to be on at 6:30.
Yep.
6:30 came and went, and he just called and said, hey, can't do it. Got a prior commitment with ESPN.
And we were, and that was the first year, wasn't it, Rudy, when we were all excited about getting him on the show? Because
I think what happened there was it was around 6:25. We were supposed to go by 6:15, but somehow he couldn't be available. Next thing you know, some producer was pulling him away, and so he couldn't be on, and Don got very upset.
Well, the boy, he's so vital to the ESPN Sports Center.
Rudy, to the majority of sports guys in the business, guys in TV, football, sports, do they agree with Mel Kiper Jr. on his top five picks?
I'd say almost all of these expert guys have got about the top five and even six and seven the same way.
Okay, good.
I don't know if Mel gave you all those top picks, but yes, they seem to. In other words, Mel is the guy that makes the point, and it's probably true, that LeVar Arrington is maybe the top athlete in the draft, but the Browns don't want to go through any contract hassle with him. And on top of that, it's very rare to get a Bruce Smith-type defensive end in a draft, and so that's where we're going to go to Courtney Brown.
All right, now listen, Rudy Martsky, of course, as you know, writes his column most days in USA Today. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you something, not about anything you wrote in your column today, but earlier this week, you know, about 3 weeks ago, when I asked you this thing about Rush Limbaugh being on Monday Night Football, you poo-pooed it, and you said, no, it's got to be crap. Then earlier this week, I read the headline, we're doing an entire article about goddamn Rush Limbaugh. Is there a chance that whale is going to get that job?
Yeah, what happened there was that I was given a little bum steer by the ABC people because they just don't want to let this out. Now, it was middle of this week that a very important high-level guy who was connected with ABC told me. I said, well, what's going on in Monday Night Football? Because all these names have been exhausted. And he says, hey, they're really interested in Rush Limbaugh.
Hold on. But before you go on with this, to confirm this, I have to ask about the third name that I heard in a third man booth. Now, you got to go with me because I was right about Limbaugh when I heard that.
Okay, so you say Al Michaels, Rush Limbaugh,
and Billy Crystal.
No, Billy is no chance. I mean, not that he wouldn't be. People would like Billy because he'd be funny, but he is doing a lot of work with HBO. Ross Greenberg yesterday, who was the HBO executive producer, just told me, Rudy, Billy Crystal, no chance. And he talks with Billy every day. So that's out.
No. So, but ABC was considering him.
He was a name that was there because remember, Bob Allmire.
Oh my God!
Yes.
You know what happened to the game, Rudy? What happened to the football game being the real deal? I mean, getting the good schedule, getting the team. When did this become the the celebrity du jour show?
Okay, I'll tell you why. Bringing in Don Allmire, who you guys probably know,
OJ's friend.
Yeah, OJ's buddy. But beyond that, Don was an original producer with Monday Night Football back in the 70s with all the Cosell magic that they had with Don Meredith. Went on to NBC after that and was actually the head of NBC Sports and so on. And then got into entertainment out in L.A. and brought NBC back, let's say, about ten years ago, brought them back from the dead in entertainment and made them number one and then eventually got pushed out.
You know, that seems to be the scuttlebutt around that everybody's talking about. Rush Limbaugh, comparing him to Howard Cosell. That's like comparing Walter Cronkite to Maury Povich. That is not a comparison.
That is an insult to Maury Povich.
It probably is.
To Mopo. I know you're a big Mopo fan. Sorry about that.
But Rudy, give me the odds right now. We have to break. What are the odds that big, dumb Rush Limbaugh gets that job?
Well, from what I know right now, and it's we know it's not definite, I'd give him the best chance right now. As part of my tidbits, and I know you got to go right now, I was going to at least tell you that what's happened here, the reason why they got to a rush situation is that all of the traditional names, they went after John Madden. They tried very hard to get Chris Collinsworth. They approached, they made indirect calls to get guys like Howie Long. And they've even made a phone call to our favorite guy in the show, Jerry Glanville. And these guys are all under contract to other networks.
So they go to Rush Limbaugh. Jesus Christ.
Now, I'm not saying it's going to be Rush because there might be some complications there, but one of
They want headlines. Why don't they get Jimmy Fox?
Yeah, they could do him.
Do you know who Jimmy Fox is? Jimmy Fox is the disc jockey from Cincinnati who was arrested this week for trying to pick up a girl on the internet. It was really the police. He showed up with beer and condoms, and it was the cops waiting for him.
If you are, give us a number. On a scale of 1 to 10, what are the chances Rush Limbaugh will be in the booth for Monday Night Football?
I'd say at least a 6, maybe a 7.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Wow.
That's awful. All right, Rupert, we got to go.
Okay, guys.
We got to go. Rudy Marsky brought to you by Milwaukee Frozen Custard.
Oh, he'd be happy about that.
Check out Milwaukee Frozen Custard's daily calendar at www.milwaukeefrozencustard.com.
Somebody must have found out it was from Milwaukee.
It's a proud day, Rudy. It's a proud day when I can read Rudy Marsky, sponsored by Milwaukee Frozen Custard.
It's great custard.
Oh, man, it's great.
All right, goodbye, Rudy.
Okay, guys. Goodbye. Okay, bye.
That is Rudy Marsky from USA Today and Mel Kiper from Outer Space. Now let's go to Guy Birdley from Wichita. Guy, what is your lead story on the news and the comments?
Up top tonight, the Louis Anderson gay extortion story.
Oh, brother! That's good.
That is a tease.
All right, we'll stay tuned for that, Bugs.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
Oh, Buzz coming up with, that was at the, well, I'll ask later.
Show me gay.
If it's Louis Anderson who's gay.
Jesus, what a mess.
We'll be right back.
Do this for Don and Mike. Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, let me tell you something about them little two-bit pity whores, okay, Don and Mike. Them and, let me tell you, I met them at one of them baths over on Melrose when they were out in L.A. I was the loofah boy, and I just walked by, and I gave them a sponge and a small animal. And, I think, well, you know, what happens is you do radio, and D.C.'s a big, big market for me, you know, because I'm black.
Right.
And, on the inside, trying to make bail. You only have that once, right? But you know, when you do the show, they go, can you do some IDs for us so everybody will think we're in? Yeah. And you do it because you know you have Les Moonves with CBS going, put you on UPN.
Okay, I thought you were tight with Don and Mike.
Oh, look, who could be tight with Don and Mike? You know what I mean? They're this, you know, this far away from, you know, repairing ham radio. You know, the guys have no talent. You know, they still don't understand why the Jets broke up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't mean the team. I mean the you know, the Polynesian band.
Right.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Plenty of talk of sex, poop, and mayhem.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's our recipe for success. Now let's go to Buzz. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. An Arizona man has been charged with trying to extort money from comedian Louis Anderson. The man wanted $250,000 not to tell the tabloids that the Family Feud host once asked him for sex. Richard Gordon.
Is that Louis Anderson beginning to comment right now?
Yeah. He's got more to say.
I bet he does.
Goodness. Louis, would you repeat that, please? I didn't get all that. What was that?
He is not happy, oh, Buzz.
Of course not.
Richard Gordon, said to be in his early 30s, is behind bars now without bail over this. The FBI says it has this Gordon guy on tape making his demands. The Bureau says Gordon wanted $250,000. In addition to the $100,000 Anderson had already paid him.
Uh-oh. I would say that's hinky.
That is hinky.
If Louis Anderson had already paid the guy $100,000, that's like saying, yeah, guilty.
Yeah, I mean, that much money.
Louis Anderson's lawyers say don't rush to judgment. They say their client paid that hush money because he was afraid for his career. What with the cartoon show and the family-oriented game show and all.
So Louis Anderson, he's not saying that he's gay.
Would somebody please give me Louis Anderson's phone number?
He's made no such announcement.
Because I would like to call him up, and I would like to say that I'm going to say something bad about him, and maybe he'd give me $100,000 also.
But then you'll end up behind bars with that guy, and
could happen.
Louis will be commenting like this about you.
No, see, because I'd be happy just with $100,000.
See, but extortion, like melting down teeth, is wrong. You shouldn't do that.
Okay, Buzz. And listen to how much it's upset Louis.
Oh, my. Yeah, Louis is just... He's just...
Sure.
Oh, boy. Well, he just doesn't want to seem to come out with it.
Louis, what is it?
No, give us more, Louis. Give us more. Free yourself. Purge yourself.
Come on, Louis. Are you gay?
He's still being too coy about it. When is he going to give us the definitive word?
He still doesn't want to do it.
Come on, don't be so shy.
Cagey.
Louis?
It still doesn't...
Show me honesty.
No, he's so shy.
He's keeping something from
us.
Yes,
he is.
He's really not revealing.
Do you have a secret in there, Louis? Louis?
You know he does.
Deep in the chewy center of your Tootsie Roll pop.
Oh, Louis.
Louis.
Mr. Anderson, please, tell us the truth.
Are you gay?
What are you hiding from us?
He just doesn't want to talk.
Tell. He won't tell.
Mm, well, Gordon's story was that 4 years ago, Anderson offered him $1,000 to go home with him.
That's his story, and we'll see it. That sounded revealing.
It sounded like he might be coming around, mm-hmm, on it.
Yeah.
But still not the whole truth.
They're calling it Bloody Friday. The bad week on Wall Street got really bad today. The Dow closed down over 600 points. NASDAQ was down over 350 points. It was the NASDAQ's biggest one-day loss ever, and in terms of points, not percentages, it was also the biggest one-day drop for the Dow.
Now listen. I want all you fearmongers out there to listen to me.
Okay.
How long ago was it that the Dow cleared 10,000?
A long time ago.
What was it, like 2 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. 2 years ago, if the Dow was at where it is now...
We'd be having a parade.
You'd be ecstatic.
Sure. Right.
As long as the Dow doesn't slip below 10,000, mm-hmm, all is right with the world.
Do you have the number so we know how close it is to that magic thing that Don is talking about?
I will get that number for you. Like I said, it's not much above 10,000, but it is still above 10,000.
But as long as it's still in five digits,
that's true.
Everything is okay. There's no need to panic. There's no need for Buzz to come on to this.
I'm not
CNBC
panicking.
With a squawk box and CNN where you turn it on and I want to see that video of Elion pointing at his papa, and instead I just see the big stock board, and then I see the tall buildings in New York, and I understand what they're saying, that very soon men will be jumping from those buildings.
Yeah, you might have a few jumpers today.
It could happen, because we'd rather see it go up than down, obviously. Experts say investors say this is just a correction. Investors realizing now that they overvalued tech stocks over the past year, and they're also...
Gee, do you think? You really think that Amazon's really not worth $178 a freaking share?
They're also concerned and nervous about the recent signs of inflation, but today all the stocks, not just the tech stocks, but all the stocks suffered for it. The Dow, by the way, could have been worse. The Dow was at one point today, down over 700 points.
And that's the biggest point drop ever, right? Even with 600 points, it's the biggest ever.
Absolutely. The last record, I think, was 550.
Bloody Friday.
Like
I love it because they always do come up with a name for it, Bloody Friday.
But see, it's not Bloody Friday. It's not.
Right.
It's not like today's the day that you're going to have people going, oh, our life savings are gone. We have no money. No.
6-7 years ago, if you'd had a drop of 600 points, you would have been talking about some major financial collapsing. But you're absolutely right.
I'm telling you, this is no big deal.
And the volatility of it is due to the fact that there are so many more people now that are involved in it.
Wendell has gold bars in his basement.
Psychologists say Elian Gonzalez was obviously coached to say on video that he wants to stay in this country.
Papa, I no one go with you. Papa.
Read the cue cards, Elian.
I want another gold chain.
What was the papa doing when he was being pointed at by his son? How was the father reacting to this?
I don't know. It was a videotape.
Also, it was just the father wasn't there.
He was not present.
That's why I said it was like POW, because it's Elion sitting on the bed.
Okay, now I know exactly. I thought it was a shot of him talking to his father.
No,
he was looking at the camera.
He's talking to the camera.
Oh, that's
father. Yeah, he's sitting on the bed.
Oh, that's worse.
He's got like a candy bar or something in his hand.
Sure, that's worse.
And they've draped him in gold chains, and he's pointing at,
I don't want to go with you, Papa. Papa.
He said his papa can stay in this country if he wants to, but he says he isn't going back to Cuba.
Papa don't preach.
And as for how the father reacted to it...
Papa was a Rolling Stone.
After
the
that,
mamas and the papas. Papa
that,
John.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. All right. Wait a minute.
Oh, my papa.
Oh, Christ.
I hate to lose. You're king of the papas.
Yeah, I haven't had one in a while.
King of the papas.
King of the papas.
I was, while I was trying to noodle through papas, Papa John's, trying to think the pizza thing, that's where you killed me.
Papa, man. Can you hear me?
Okay. King of the papas.
Thank you.
King of the papas.
King of the papas. You asked me how Elian's father reacted to this. He reacted by flipping off the crowd of supporters and the family in Miami that Elian is staying with after that videotape aired. That was Elian's father's reaction to this, naturally.
Not sure I'm crazy about that either.
No. Anyway, psychologists are describing that video as a hostage video and a Hollywood production. They say Elian kept looking off camera for instructions.
He did.
Doctors contacted by newspapers say Elian appears to have been frightened out of returning to Cuba. They say he's been brainwashed into thinking America is like Disneyland.
See, now hold on a second. Mm-hmm. What we're dealing here, we're dealing with the extreme factions on both sides.
Sure.
Okay, I don't agree with them putting him in front of a camera for 1 second.
Right.
But as far as, you know, this is probably a group of relatives that are sitting around there and saying, you know, you don't want to go back to Cuba.
Right.
Let's not, you know... that's as bad as it can be, but let's not go way over the line and make it sound like he's in Hanoi.
But doctors point out that he has been told, apparently, they believe, the doctors believe anyway, that he's been told that all the love that he's getting here in this country, that'll stop. That'll come to a halt if he goes back to Cuba. Well, what are we in agreement on this? The kid is already screwed up for life because of everything that's happened over the last few months.
Sure, it's sad.
Quoting one psychologist, it made me want to throw up. They've made Daddy the bad guy. And speaking of Daddy again, Elian's father says that he's been offered $2 million, a house, a car, and a job through the auspices of a U.S. senator to stay in this country and not to take Elian back to Cuba. But the father says, there is no price on my son. He refused to go along with that offer.
Yeah, here's what the father said.
I can't speak. I'm dumb.
I'm dumb.
That's what he had to say. You know, something I wondered about this, you just made me think of what you mentioned, that they offered him this money and this job.
Do you know when Elian's father came to Dulles Airport last week? Remember when we sent Toya out to interview all those people?
Right.
Do you know, he didn't fly on a regular airplane. He flew on a goddamn private jet.
Really?
Yeah. Who paid for that?
I have no idea.
Who paid for this private jet?
Cuban government, I would think.
And it's not like he had on Salvation Army clothes.
No, he had his new... I mean, you look at the shots of him back when, you know, they were in Cuba, and he doesn't look the same as when he got off that plane. I mean, it's... there's so much going on. This is such a political tug of war,
yeah.
And it's unfortunate because you do have the kid who's in the middle of this crap.
But thank God we have Andy Garcia and Gloria Estefan handling this for us. Thank God.
Thank God.
And where's Enrique Iglesias at all?
He makes
How come he hasn't been called in as a special consultant yet?
Or bring his dad into it.
His dad would
be a calming influence.
I know.
Enrique is busy dating Christina Aguilera now.
Is he really?
Yeah, that's the latest.
Oh, that cat.
Ooh, they'd have beautiful children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some gays want to like Bush. When George W. Bush first began his run for the White House, he refused to meet with gay Republicans. In fact, he called the very idea of such a meeting, quote, a nightmare. Yesterday, Bush finally did it. He says the meeting didn't change his views about homosexuality, but he says it did make him a better person.
Mr. Bush, this is Governor Anus. I'm calling from California.
I'd
like you to talk to my congressional aide, Mr. Scrotum.
Hi there.
We'd like to talk to you about how you feel about gays.
If you have any more words you'd like to share with the community, please just send them to my attention. G. Scrotum.
Now, where is my dog Rimjob? I want you to be my dog Rimjob. Remy Tim Tim.
He's out in the backyard.
Remy.
He's in the backyard. Bush says he hopes the meeting will make him a better candidate. He was moving to the far right in the early days of the campaign. Now that it's down to him and Al Gore, he's trying to appear to move back toward the middle. Like Bush...
He was all wasted in those days, so it didn't matter.
Like Bush, Al Gore is against gay marriage, but unlike Bush, Gore supports laws against hate crimes and laws against orientation-based job discrimination.
Now, Governor Bush, is it not true that your father, George Bush, the former president, was in fact gay?
No, I don't think so.
Isn't your mother a man?
Maybe.
Yeah, you might be right about that. Don't have that voice yet.
Hold on, Buzz. All right. We have a
substitute voice.
A guy can tell us who paid for Gonzalez's dad airfare.
Oh, good.
Johnny, who paid for it?
I heard on an afternoon talk show, political guy that you guys know very well, that it was a church group. He characterized it as a very far left wing, very not even pink but red, but a church group that paid for the lawyer for the father as well as the air flight to bring him over here. They also paid for those the grandparents to come over a couple like a month ago whenever they were over.
Okay. All right. Well, why would someone bankroll that? And if you're going to pay for the guy to come over, why would you just buy him a plane ticket? Why do you have to get him a chartered jet?
If you're paying for the guy, the church group, they are...
My guess is as much as everything else is all tied up in politics and everything, they're pushing whatever agenda they want to. I personally think that
Goodbye. Thank you.
That's why
you listen to political talk shows, douchebag.
And you know that guy, unable to really make sense of what I want to know, the people that paid for the plane, which side are they on politically? Are they on the Cuban side or are they on the, keep him in the U.S. side? That's what I wasn't able to get that. He said they're a far left-wing group. I mean, like left-wing communists, so they would be pro-Castro? Is that the people that... But if it's a church group, I think the church groups are advocating that the kids stay here in the United States.
Right. And you people know how sensitive I am. Never mention that you listen to another radio show.
Please.
Jesus Christ, I have feelings.
Richard.
What am I, a clown? Do I amuse you?
Make you laugh?
Okay, what's next, Buzz?
But I'm talking about Shaft. Richard Roundtree, who played Shaft in the original movie, says he had breast cancer.
Friend of mine.
The 57-year-old tells next week's People magazine he was diagnosed in 93, got treatment, and has been cancer-free now for 6 years.
Didn't know that when I was hanging out with him.
When did you meet him?
At one golf tournament.
How long ago? Do you remember?
Probably 5 years ago, 6 years ago.
So.
And I stood next to him at the bar, chatted with Shaft. I thought it was just about the coolest thing. You know, there's certain celebrities that you see that you get excited about, and there's certain celebrities where you just think it's the coolest thing in the world. And that was Shaft. I was standing next to John Shaft at the bar just chatting with him.
Okay, hold on. Get on. There's a smart guy on the phone.
Todd.
Yeah.
Yes, smart guy. Hello.
The reason that he took the chartered flight was because they don't have direct flights from U.S. to Cuba.
Here's more information that does nothing for me.
Right.
Sorry.
There are flights that go from Cuba to the United States. There are.
There are?
There are. I mean, you can't go and buy a ticket, but there are. You know that there are.
Miami, you know, absolutely.
Yes, of course.
Well, isn't it, like, illegal to go there as a U.S. citizen?
No, you can get a visa and go there. You can go to Miami. You can get a passport. You can get on a boat and go to Cuba for the day and come back.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Legally.
From one smart guy to another. I don't know if everybody can, but I know that you and I could because we could get a journalistic pass.
We have a mutual friend who suggested that trip. A mutual friend who is also familiar with the law.
Yes.
And I still didn't trust it.
That's a good idea.
And did you feel the same way as I did about
that? No, I'm still waiting for him to call. I'll take that trip.
I thought that was hinky. I thought that was super deluxe hinky. I really did. I wasn't sure about that. You know what I pictured us? I pictured us going there and then getting in all sorts of trouble with the Cuban authorities and then being, on the way back, being... raped by pirates.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello. Yeah, turn your radio down, please. Please, for the love of God.
Gotcha.
For the love of Allah.
Here's the smartest guy that's called the last half hour.
Do it for Buddha. What can we do for you?
Papa John Creech. You missed one.
Oh, I knew that was coming.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Good. Okay, the people that chartered the plane were Cuban businessmen who support Castro. Ordinary citizens cannot fly to Cuba because there is an embargo. The reason it was a private plane was because he brought so many Cuban diplomats with him.
Okay.
There's your answer.
So basically sympathizers for the Cuban government.
Exactly. Came from CNN, in case you guys are curious. And Don, I love you. Don't meow me.
No. I'm not meowing. I'm not meowing the message. I am simply meowing the tone of voice.
Oh, no, honey, I'm stuck in traffic in West Virginia behind an accident, and the cop is sitting here with a thumb up his nose not directing traffic.
I love you guys. Thank you.
Bye.
She came on with her agenda.
Very smart woman, though.
Well,
she was like...
The reason that they couldn't do that is because they couldn't do that. They couldn't do that, and they couldn't do that, and they couldn't do that.
But she did answer the question.
Eric.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Great, my friend.
Hey, yeah, my aunt just took a trip to Cuba not too long ago, and she had to go up to Canada and fly out of there. They could not get a flight out of the U.S.
I think we've established the fact that you cannot fly to Cuba up from the United States.
Yes, but you could simply, yeah, this guy's right, you could just drive over the border to Canada and fly there.
Go to via Canada, you can go to Cuba.
All right, now, here's a guy, hold on, here's a guy who flew from Cuba to Costa Rica, then to Miami. Travis.
Yeah.
You did that?
Well, no, I didn't do it, but I know people that own travel companies. That's what they do.
Yeah, but and you can, as an American citizen, if you go via another country, you can legally go into Cuba, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
But you have to have the State Department's permission, I believe.
You got to have a visa.
A visa.
Mm-hmm. Or a MasterCard. But not a Discover card.
It's everywhere you want to be.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
In Fidel Castro's Cuba, they don't take American Express.
Arguing with listeners on this show? Priceless. All right. Buzz, time out. We have to do a break.
Okay.
I hate it when we get serious. We will be back with more stories about Louis Anderson being gay.
Okay.
When we come right back.
This is Off the Muscle. Don and Mike.
We try.
Yeah.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, Hannibal the Cannibal is one of us now. British actor Sir Anthony Hopkins has become a U.S. citizen.
Well, good for him. See you in the light.
London. London newspapers today branded Hopkins as Hannibal defector, quoting the 62-year-old, "I really don't want to discuss it." Hopkins is actually a dual citizen now, belonging to both countries. His swearing-in ceremony here this week included his friends Steven Spielberg and John Travolta.
I'm having Buzz Burbank over for dinner.
Hey, where's my God Bless America music?
Don's going to do a patriotic.
No, I'd like to hear Hannibal Lecter sing a little God Bless America.
Oh, very good. That's lovely.
I'll pepper with my commentary, of course.
That's because you're a true American.
America
patriot.
The Beautiful.
Very
Hannibal.
Good. I'd like to say that America the Beautiful.
Ladies and gentlemen, Hannibal Lecter.
America. For spacious skies, Clarice. For amber waves of grain.
For if you wear a leather mask, this is the country for you.
Quid pro quo, America. Nice Chianti and some fava beans, and I'll eat your liver.
Be you mass murderer or a cannibal?
I love this country. Plenty to eat.
America opens its doors wide to you.
God share his grace, or shed his grace on thee. I don't know the lyrics, but I'm hungry.
Thy good
with brotherhood. I'll help you catch him, Clarice.
From sea, meaning seaward, to shining sea.
Mind the drawings as I slip this key out from my mouth, unlock my handcuffs, and beat you to death before I eat your tongue.
Oh, listen, Hannibal, I'm doing a crossword puzzle.
Yes.
It's a four-letter word. Last three letters are UNT.
Yeah.
Name for a woman.
I could share it with you, but I'm afraid that you would be eviscerated by the FCC.
No, the word is ant.
Oh, ant, charming boy. You're a charming boy. You know what? I believe I will spare you, and I'll eat your entire staff, especially the big boy with the crew cut. He'd make a fine dinner.
It was a joke somebody told me today. I can't remember who told me the joke. That the joke is the Pope is on an airplane.
The Pope.
And the Pope is doing a crossword puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pope turns and says to the person next to him, "Hey, it's a four-letter word for a woman, UNT. What's the first letter?" And the guy says, "Well, hey, it's ant." And the Pope says, "Oh, Christ, I wrote..."
That was me laughing. Yes, sir. Ah, that's wonderful. I will just be glad when I get into this country that they'll finally remove my leather mask and my restraints, take me off the hand truck, and let me go eat in peace. America.
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 God shed his grace on thee. And crown thy good with brotherhood, Clary.
Clary.
From sea to shining sea.
Ladies and gentlemen, God bless America.
God bless America
the beautiful.
Yes, sir.
I'd like my meat rare, please. Absolutely rare.
Thank you very much.
Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Thank you very much.
American.
Thank you.
Eight Federal Express workers have been arrested for allegedly working with Jamaican drug dealers to smuggle marijuana into the U.S.
Was one of their names Joe Ardinger?
100 tons of marijuana.
Wow.
The syndicate was reportedly moving over 1,000 pounds a day into New York City. More than 24 people were arrested on these charges yesterday in New York.
Didn't Joe drive a FedEx truck to work today?
Yes, he did. A big one. And it reeked. And he was smiling.
When he opened the doors, like when Jeff Spicoli opened the door of that VW wagon.
That's right.
I'm here. Smoke pours out.
Sorry I'm late. You going to eat that? More than 24 people arrested in New York. Across the country, 70 people have been hauled in. There have been arrests in Boston, Atlanta, Florida, and California. One of yesterday's New York arrests included a FedEx security manager. Other FedEx employees actually acted as informants for the feds. The smugglers reportedly used fabric softener sheets to hide the smell inside the packages.
When you absolutely, positively
have to be high the next morning.
Come on, get it to me, man.
Rock music pioneer Bo Diddley is suing the Nike Corporation. Diddley says the company didn't give him a dime after it sold thousands of t-shirts with his image and the catchphrase, "You don't know Diddley." The guitar legend says he did get paid for the original ad campaign in 1989, but he says he didn't get Diddley from the t-shirts sold in the past year. Nike says it's trying to work out a deal, offering the musician $10,000 to $15,000 in royalties.
I'm sorry, Buzz, we're getting some kind of interference, some kind of CB interference on this story.
It's Bo Diddley, for God's sake. He's also Nike, and I thought perhaps you'd be interested.
Okay, well,
you got so excited when we drove by Nike Town yesterday.
Oh, F you, Buzz.
F you.
At least I need to put a cup underneath the hot chocolate machine.
In Fort Worth, Robert was found innocent of murder, but he's going to jail anyway.
And what's wrong with me getting excited we drove by Nike Town yesterday?
Well, nothing. I'm just saying that I chose that story based on your excitement.
I'm
here to please you.
I think, frankly, for all the talk about Nike, they ought to give you some kind of, little leg up when you go into Nike Town, to be honest with you.
Didn't Nike send us a bunch of stuff a while ago, shoes and shirts and sweatshirts and stuff like that?
I will tell you about Nike Town. Going by in the car yesterday, you did not get a feel for just how cool that store is. I mean, I've never seen a Nike store that had that look to it. Now, I hope it's not a disappointment, because some of those Nike outlets,
I like anything Nike, though.
Yeah, but
I really
do. Some of them are kind of you know what I mean?
I know that Nike's not cool anymore, which is I like everything Nike.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I do.
Well, this man in Fort Worth was found innocent.
What kind of sneakers do you wear, Buzz?
These are Rockport.
Oh,
Rockport.
Of course they are.
They're very comfortable.
Of course they are.
And they're cocoa resistant.
Okay. All right.
A man in Fort Worth was found innocent of murder, but he's going to jail anyway. He and his mother have been locked up after they expressed their happiness with the verdict, according to USA Today.
This is anytime we have a story from Fort Worth, Texas.
Very good.
Don't you remember who used to live in Fort Worth, Texas?
Oh, this would be Freddie.
Major Bill Smith.
And his classic hit, Freddie the Disco Frog.
From Fort Worth, Texas, Bill Smith. You just go ahead, Buzz. This is background music.
Oh, okay, I was waiting to hear Freddy's Always Ready.
Oh, no, it's got a long intro on it.
Well, this man found innocent of murder and his mother have both been locked up now after they expressed their happiness with the not guilty verdict. The judge cited them both for contempt of court because they shouted for joy, quoting the judge, as if he'd won the winning touchdown. The judge admits he didn't hear a word of what they said, but quoting him, "All I saw was the physical response, and it was totally inappropriate."
Good for that judge. As if he had won the winning touchdown?
As if he caught, actually, he said if he'd caught the winning touchdown.
Who cares? I'm just digging the Fort Worth sound right now.
Major Bill Smith.
Yeah, see, that's Freddie. If you can hear him, he's way in the background.
He's Freddie. There's no problem.
There he is.
Disco Freddie.
Disco Freddie.
He's always ready.
He sits around, holding the chain. He refuses to play all of them crazy frog games.
Crazy frog game.
Wait till the sun goes down. Down to the disco.
listening to Freddie the Disco Frog. By Major Bill Smith.
Mighty Freddie.
Mighty Freddie.
King of the Mudbag Town.
King of the Mudbag Town. That is officially, in my opinion, and in yours, I believe, the worst record ever recorded.
Freddie the Disco Frog by Major's Bill Smith.
He thought it was going to be a big hit.
He thought it was going to be a gigantic hit.
Sure. And this guy was programming the radio station when we got that. And you actually put it on the playlist.
I put it on the playlist. And when Radio and Records, this industry magazine,
right,
came out,
right,
I got a call from the office in New York. They said, "What are you doing?" I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "You added at number 14 this week on your chart, Freddie the Disco Frog by Major Bill Smith."
And Major Bill saw it. Saw that it was in this publication. He's like, "Man, it's a cotton picking smash. It's a big hit, Freddie the Disco Frog."
It was just a goof.
Right.
It was like it was in Billboard magazine. It said the station, WAVA, was playing Freddie the Disco Frog by Major Bill Smith.
Mighty Freddie, always
Mighty
ready.
Freddy's always ready.
A talent that will be missed. A young man in Seattle who was seduced by a school teacher is now suing the school district for not protecting him better.
Hey, that'd be another good name for Mark Chamora. What was that teacher's name? Is it Mary Kay?
Mary Kay Letourneau.
Mary Kay Letourneau. Mary Kay Chamora. They just keep coming. Lester Burnham, Mary Kay Chamora.
That's right. But just remember, he was in there, what was he doing? Changing? And that's when the girl walked in there. Is that the spin that they're putting
on? Oh, yeah. That's what the Packer fans said there.
Very good. Okay.
He was just changing.
Yeah, so don't rush to judgment there.
And like the girl, she came and she was asking for it there.
Sure, yes, she asked for it. She demanded it.
Yeah.
Well, when he was 13, this young man fathered two of Mary Kay Letourneau's children. In interviews, he said the sex was consensual. But now, the 16-year-old and his mom want $1 million for emotional suffering, lost income, and the cost of raising the two kids. The teacher, now 38, is still doing time over this. The prison says she cannot comment because she's lost her phone privileges. Something about sending inappropriate material through mail.
Really?
Our most bizarre story of the day. In West Bend, Wisconsin, a man has been sentenced to 7 months in jail for killing 8 of his wife's pets. The pets included birds, snakes, and a chinchilla. The man says he killed the animals to teach his wife a lesson about the importance of life after she'd had an abortion.
Why is this story bizarre?
You don't find it odd?
It's a joke.
I understand.
Yes, okay.
I knew that he understood. Okay, that. I knew that he knew that.
That's good.
The man would have been...
Doesn't sound bizarre at all to me. She just wouldn't listen.
Oh, God.
She had to kill all of her animals.
This man will begin serving his jail time right after his wife gives birth to the baby they're now expecting.
I'm so happy for them.
Sure.
First you kill her animals, then if she doesn't listen, you cut her head off.
Mike? Yes?
What?
Microsoft is denying its employees deliberately put a security flaw in its internet software. Microsoft says the 5-year-old program gave some users access to the back doors of several websites, but the company insists it was not intentional. Microsoft does cop, however, to the accusation that it named certain files in that program with the phrase, "Netscape engineers are weenies."
Well, that is like something that a computer nerd would do, right? Oh, listen. Boy, are we just sticking to them. I've decided, look at this. It says that they are weenies.
Netscape engineers are weenies, and that is so cool. Then we'll go down and we'll count our pocket protectors.
One more, please, Buzzy.
The E! Exclamation Point channel has added something to its website that might interest you. It's nominated 10 movies for the best vomit scene, including The Exorcist, The Witches of Eastwick, The Fly, Trainspotting, American Pie. Yeah.
A train spotting, that's a winner.
That is a winner. Monty Python's The Meaning of Life, South Park, Stand By Me, and Parenthood.
Stand By Me was in there. I'm glad Stand By Me was in there.
You never saw the movie Trainspotting, did you?
No, I never saw that. Would that be the worst one of all?
It's where the guy pukes out this stuff to get drugs out of himself.
Oh, really?
And then he reaches into the toilet.
Into a toilet that's already been used for other purposes.
Oh, man, that's a problem.
Yeah, it is. This week, E! Says it plans to rank the movie vomit scenes, choosing an all-time winner in the process.
I'll tell you what, I vomit when I see Steve Kometko. Hi, everybody. Welcome to E! News Daily. I'm Steve Kometko. As you can see, there's a gigantic fish tank behind me for no apparent reason.
Can't argue with that tan.
What are the best vomit scenes ever? We'll find out right after this behind the scenes of Green Acres. Thank you, Buzz, for that news break. We will be right back.
practicing total sphincter control. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Well, it wouldn't be Friday without the mother chucker.
Mm-hmm.
How come you're not down in Little Havana?
You're Puerto Rican, right?
Yeah, but that's not Cuban.
Yeah, but it's close enough.
No, there's a big, no, big difference.
You should be down there offering your support for a little alien.
No, aliens should go back.
For Alien Gonzalez.
Aliens. Aliens should go home.
Okay, it's time for the movies. Let me play them in. Charlie Stossel.
And now, the pride of Puerto Rico. Here's movie man Charlie Stossel.
Charlie, first off, let me say to you, how about those caps?
Oh, man.
Second off,
you know, I'm having a difficult enough time. Thanks for bringing that ugly nightmare back up, but they'll be fine.
Well, I'll tell you, you are the biggest Washington Capitals fan in the whole world, and they kind of let you down last night with a 7-0 loss.
Well, it ended very quickly, mm-hmm. very quickly last night, but that's okay. 6 more games left.
Okay. What is the latest on your personal front? The last time you were on the show last week...
Nothing has changed. It was still F everybody. I'm not into this Elaine Friend thing. If I go out with somebody and they look at me and say, hey, you're very nice, I just want to be friends, I'll say, thanks, but no thanks.
Did you attend the game? Did you attend the game last night with a young lady?
No.
With your brother?
Absolutely not.
The game was in Pittsburgh, wasn't it?
No, it was here.
It was here.
No. And I'm not at the point where anybody who is, quote, fresh or new, why am I going to, you've been in my seats, why am I going to give up my great seats to somebody who may not ever come there again when I have a lot of friends I can take who would enjoy that game?
That's true.
That's what I did.
You get your same seats for the playoffs?
Yes.
Huh? I hope they last a lot longer, but I'm not optimistic.
At least one more game.
So the new attitude with the new Charlie Stossel is still there, the same attitude that was there last week.
Absolutely. Why should anything change?
Right.
In 1 week?
The quilt-free Stossel.
Please.
That's what I like. Good for you, Charlie.
I think this is a good move, and who knows, you know, with
and I feel
spring.
Good. Feels good about it.
Spring is in the air. You know, who knows?
Now, what about the chick who called you last week on the show?
We went out.
Whoa!
You sly dog!
No, hold on.
Now, isn't this the girl that we got to promise you manual relief on the show if she went out with you?
Yes, which I got a phone call on Monday from somebody I work with asking. The first question she asked, so, manual relief?
No. Did you get it?
No.
What happened?
We had a very nice dinner. We talked on... Go ahead.
Was she pretty?
Very cute.
Mm-hmm.
Very attractive.
Who is the celebrity she most resembles?
A cross between a very young, and I say very young, Candace Bergen or Kira Sedgwick.
Wow.
I would say.
So she had a big mouth?
No, she had the big hair.
Mouth.
The big hair.
Okay.
She had more the Kira Sedgwick hair that kind of goes all over, but she had the Candace Bergen smile.
And cute. She wasn't a big girl. She was a nice body.
Yeah, very cute. Very nice girl.
Would you rate her as hot?
I would rate her as well above average.
Okay, so not quite hot, but well above average.
Well, yeah, I mean, we had a very nice time. On my scale of 1 to 10, 7 or 8.
And so why?
High 7.
Why did you throw her away?
I haven't thrown her away yet.
Oh,
I kind of have.
Really?
Okay, why have you discarded her?
We had a very nice time. We had a long chat, 2 hours on the phone, first time we talked. And we did the standard questions, you know, about family and what you like, what you don't like, etc. Then we get to looks.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And she told me what she looked like. And, of course, as a guy, you don't say, how much do you weigh? And then you don't go around back and say, you know, what dress size do you wear? Nothing like... And she's a very thin girl. So there was no issue there. So she asked me, she says, well, you know, how tall are you? What color are your eyes? What color are your hair? All that kind of stuff. Well, when I got to the hair thing, I said, well, what's left of it, it's short and dark. And her reaction was this. What's left? Just like that.
Well, she listened to the show all the time.
And I hadn't figured
heard
out.
Heard you
maybe.
On the show. And
didn't
never
know
knew
that you
that.
Were bald?
Balding.
Yeah.
He's not 100% bald yet.
No.
He still has hair on the sides.
That's right.
But the whole reaction to that was, she went through with the dinner. We had a very nice dinner and really a nice time. But the whole time we were there, I got the feeling that she was like, I'm going through this just to go through this. But I really don't want to be here.
Oh, well, then you know what? You shouldn't be able to give her the time of day.
She's the one that called.
You're right.
And I would think that anybody that would call this show wanting to go out with you would base it on the fact that they listened for a long time.
Maybe
you should buy a tube.
Absolutely not. You know what this is like? This is like a woman that has no breasts. there's like an Ally McBeal look or like a small B.
Right.
You can do something about it, but you know, if a guy doesn't like it, the girl should say F you.
Okay.
I would say the exact same thing. A rug is the dumbest thing I could have
that.
Ever done.
So your head is like Ally McBeal's breasts.
Well, not quite as bad.
I agree with you. If I was losing my hair, I would feel the exact same
way. Screw it. If somebody doesn't like it, the hell with them.
Right, your head looks like Meryl Streep. Don't worry about it.
It's not that bad.
And you would feel the same way if you were losing your hair.
Yes, I would. Yes, I would, Mike. Unfortunately, I've got this lion's mane.
But didn't you say one time that if it was really falling out, if it was really gone, you would not, like,
short.
You wouldn't screw around and get hair plugs or anything
like that? No, absolutely
not.
And listen, who am I to bust Charlie's balls? I got... You know, I keep saying it's an Easter egg-sized bald spot, but it's getting more to be like a football-sized
bald
spot.
You cut it short, and there's not a problem.
Yeah, but you got it in the spot where you want to have it,
now,
right back there.
Now,
it's in the George Michael spot.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Right, where you can do that. You can be on camera, unless you, like, start laughing and point your head at the camera.
No one will go on balls. Right. It's in the George Gimple spot.
Now, we
can. No, he does get old.
No, I meant, that tape.
Oh, the tape.
The tape does not get old.
Okay.
So, we did speak during the course of the week. And
after your dinner?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I called her. I left a message. She called me, left a message. Then we spoke very briefly, and I was just going to lay it out, because she's very honest. I was going to say, hey, this is what I said. I'm going to keep you just a few seconds, but this is what I got. Do you even want to go out a second time? Before I even got there, she said, listen, can I call you back? And I said, absolutely. And there's been no callback. So that's fine. That is just fine. I haven't thought twice about it. Mm-hmm. She's a very nice girl. I'm sure she'll make somebody very happy one day.
But you got the vibe from her that she, you know, didn't want to be there.
Although, I tell you, we had a very nice dinner, and it wasn't one of these dinners where there was no conversation or we just looked at each other going, duh. No, we talked the whole time. It was very, nice dinner.
Right as you were going to dump her,
She was legitimately working on something for school, which I did know about from all of our conversations.
I am sure that she is listening right now.
She
would at least know this is your day.
She didn't call me tonight.
Your day.
She has my number. If I start calling,
she's a star effer. She called you on a radio show to go out with you.
A star effer actually completes it, and I'm not a star. Completes the act.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Touche.
Hey, way to go. I like this new Charlie.
Me too. I do. Yeah.
Very good. Right.
We all knew Charlie Stossel.
Good.
F him.
Charlie. That's my boy. Charlie.
Now who's going to Caps game with me? Game four.
What's new? What's new in the movies this weekend?
Let's start with, as usual, bottom to top. What do we start with? American Psycho.
Oh no, you didn't like this movie?
I didn't say. This is a good weekend, I actually think, for movies. I never read the book. And I understand the book very bloody, very violent. It is about this guy who works on Wall Street, who by day is his trader self, lives the high life, kind of like Bonfire of the Vanities. I mean, has money, Michael Douglas, Wall Street, just money everywhere. Has a very nice wife or girlfriend, wife-to-be in Reese Witherspoon. He Fs his buddy's girlfriend on the side, but he also likes killing people at night. And he'll bring prostitutes, etc., up to his apartment, loves music, especially the music of the 80s, and will give you a dissertation on why Phil Collins' No Jacket Required is a fantastic album, and why Huey Lewis and the News, their 4 album, was the pinnacle of Huey, and he just goes into every song and dissects it while he's getting in a raincoat ready to beat the hell out of somebody.
Have you not seen the ads for American Psycho? It looks
really terrifying.
The guy,
it looks great.
No, it's not scary at all. Didn't find it scary at all.
Oh,
not at all.
See, you can't have a psycho movie without making it scary.
No, it's funny. At times like that, when he's talking about the Huey Lewis album,
riot.
And he's putting a raincoat on to bludgeon a guy.
No, you know what? No, he's right. If you read the book, in a lot of ways, is meant to poke fun.
At psychotic killers.
And little things put him over the edge. They all compare business cards. And because he doesn't have the nicest card out of his group that works with him, he starts losing it right there. And you see him getting angry and angry. And eventually he goes and off somebody because he's pissed off he doesn't have the nicest business card.
But okay, since I didn't read the book, so is it a parody or is it a legitimate thriller type of thing where they catch the guy?
There was a Rob Lowe movie out years ago called Bad Influence. A very small movie. Had James Spader in it also.
Yeah, I remember that. It was a good movie.
That movie was more suspenseful and more frightening than this.
Okay.
More of a parody, I think.
Yeah.
All right, but worth it?
How many porcelain dolls? Two and a half, because at times I just got, when he's running around almost naked with a chainsaw chasing after a prostitute, you're laughing, you know, and he's covered in blood.
Who doesn't laugh when they see someone naked with a chainsaw running after a prostitute?
Yeah, I just want everyone to know you're listening to a guy with a few issues here.
They're saying you're laughing. The guy who plays the lead, Christian Bale, best known for being the kid in Empire of the Sun.
Okay.
World War II picture.
All right. What else, Charlie?
So, 28 Days, Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock.
Has never looked better. She could be just sitting there for 90 minutes in a chair reading a newspaper, and I would pay admission.
Overrated.
How believable is Sandra Bullock, though, as an alcoholic?
There are times where I think she's very good with it. The whole story is about she crashes a car at her sister's wedding, eventually gets thrown into rehab for 28 days. That's the title of the movie. And it's during all of her little group sessions that she goes to the detox. And you learn what it's like to go through this. You learn she had the alcoholic parents and how that all came to play. I feel sorry for these kids. Just the flashbacks that go on. I feel sorry for these kids. If you have a situation that's that bad, that mom is passed out on the floor and they slap her to wake her up. Oh, she's better. Let's leave now. And then mom just passes out again. It's sad in that instance, but I think she is very good. Whether it's believable or not, I don't know. I was too busy staring at Sandra Bullock.
All right, you got a boner for her. How many porcelain dolls?
Two and a half. It was mildly entertaining. The best, biggest surprise, fantastic movie I've seen in a long time. Keeping the Faith.
Oh really?
The Ben Stiller
with Ed Norton and Ben Stiller
and Jenna Elfman.
Awful lot of talent.
When I saw that Edward Norton directed this movie, I shied away, going, "Oh geez, you know, he plays heavies, American History X,
right,
or People vs. Larry Flint, or the Primal Fear."
But really, one of the greatest young actors.
Rounders. He was great in Rounders.
I didn't think that he could do a directing job on a light-hearted romantic comedy about two guys who grew up together. Ben Stiller becomes a rabbi. Edward Norton becomes a priest.
You know, you mentioned Rounders about Edward Norton, and I think that's the best example of how good an actor he is, because anybody that likes that movie, I think Edward Norton just blows Matt Damon out of the water in that movie.
He does. He's fantastic. That's a movie about poker players.
Right. They grew up together and have 1 year in their lives when they're 13 where Jenna Elfman's character is the tomboy that she only likes these two guys. They're geeks. I mean, they don't get along with anybody, and they're the smaller kids, and they're kind of the runts of the group. She moves away. Years later, she is now this high-powered business executive who comes back to New York to spend some time. These two guys fall in love with her. And it's battling against each other, and they test their friendship as to who's going to get Jenna Elfman. And I have never known the appeal of Jenna Elfman. I don't watch Darman Greg. In interviews, like she's on The Tonight Show or on Letterman, she's kind of flighty and spacey.
And one's a rabbi, one's a priest, is that it?
Yeah, okay. See if you can guess who's who, Mike.
She's kind of out there, but in this movie, it seems as though she's not acting. It's almost like herself, and I can see what the appeal and why people really like Jenna Elfman, much in the same way Julia Roberts
is. Does Edward Norton make a good rabbi in this?
During the brisk scenes, especially.
Oh, I'm sorry, got it wrong.
It's so well done. It's almost 2.5 hours long, but the time flies right by. This, I think, is going to be a movie like the Sandra Bullock picture, While You Were Sleeping, which no one heard about. Got great word of mouth, and it's staying in theaters for a long time and making a good amount of money. I think this is that good.
How many porcelain dolls?
Three and a half.
Three and a half.
Very, very good.
Very good.
Get out of here.
All right, guys.
From the woman haters of America, Charlie Stossel, president.
Hi, Charlie.
He's not just a member. He's the president of the Woman Haters of America Club.
You like to just see a videotape of those dinners, though, as he sits there being as polite as he can be while this slow rage is building up inside of him.
Charlie Stossel stars in American Psycho.
She hates me. She really hates me. Why am I here? Why am I doing this?
Why am I here?
I hate women.
We will be right back.
This. Oh, magnificent bastard. I salute you.
All right, here we go with some station salutes. Across America in Reno, it's K-Play, KPLY. In Portland, Oregon, Guy Talk 1010, KGUY. And our newest station, our second home, in New York City, on WNEW 102.7.
Right.
Listen, honey.
the Don and Mike Show.
Well, listen, Monday you're going to want to listen because we're going to have the lizard man, Rick Rockwell, will be in the studio.
Very good.
To defend himself against the latest charges that Fox has come out with, saying that the fact that he was a loser is his fault, not their fault. But who wants to marry a millionaire? And we'll also ask him about Darva Conger posing in Playboy.
They're all saying, Fox basically saying that the whole reason this all happened is because he wasn't truthful.
Right. So we'll have him on the show. He'll be in studio Monday to give us his side of the story.
Good.
Time for a Friday favor now, Mike.
Nope. Not a chance.
Come on.
No. No.
Come on. Go with
no,
the moment.
No, I'm ready.
No, come on.
No.
Come on. You can do
no.
another one.
No. No
come
way.
On.
No, I'm not going to say a final no, but I'll look into
come
it.
On.
I want to do something.
Come
no.
on.
No.
All right. Friday favorite.
It'll still be good, but... Let's welcome Bob Skin.
Good eye, mate.
Oh. Wait, you're not Bob Skin.
I'm sorry, he couldn't make it. It's me, the Croc Hunter. How you doing there? Bob Skin's out in me. He's out in me, Winnebago. He's out there right now. I got him under lock and key, but I'm not going to say. He might come and visit sometime later. It's, how you doing, mate?
It's Steve Irwin, everybody. You know him, the crocodile
yeah.
hunter.
Hey, all right, crikey. I've got to tell you right now, I listened to your show yesterday.
Yes.
It was a real ripper in New York City. I'll tell you, I really like that statement about draining the anal glands. I've got a whole special coming up on Animal Planet. I'm going to be draining the animals, all of them, anal glands all over the world. It's real dangerous when you put your fingers near an animal's anus. Yeah. I don't mind telling you.
Have you ever put your fingers in an alligator's anus?
No, but I'll tell you a story. There was this one time I was draining the anal glands of a three-toed sloth, and it turned around on me. It tried to get its fangs right into me wrist. I tell you, mate, it was a real ripper. There's the tape right now. You've got to be real quiet as you sneak up and try to get as close as you can to their anal glands. Then you take your two fingers, and there's no need for a glove, mate. And you got to do it with your bare hands.
You're just going to put your hands in this animal's rectum?
I'm gonna put my thumb right near its tailbone. Then I'm gonna take my two fingers to milk its anal gland. That's what you do, you drain it. Now let's see what happens. It looks to be sleeping. Now I'm gonna get behind him. He's a real beauty. He's a giant ripper. Look at how beautiful he is as he's sleeping and he's growling. Now I'll put my fingers right in here and I'll drain. Oh, that's a ripper. A great anal gland. It worked out real great. He didn't even know it, and he's still sleeping, mate. Then I'll take the sample back to me lab and analyze it to make sure. Yes, I've got a giant laboratory. Just like I'm a mad scientist, Rob. Thanks for asking. Good question. So I'll take it back and I'll analyze it. Yeah, I analyze venoms from all sorts of creatures. King cobras, eastern diamondback rattlesnakes, black mambas, every dangerous snake, including your northeastern scorpion, or is it southwest? I get you, Yanks, so confused. I really do. But it's great to be here. I like everything dangerous. People think the only things that are dangerous are back in the outback. But it's not true. There are dangerous creatures everywhere. Even your common house pet. A kitty cat can be dangerous if you get it on the wrong day, mate. And you can walk up to it and try to drain its anal glands at the wrong time. And it'll take a big chunk of flesh right out of your wrist, mate.
All right, now, what about the station? What about the station pussy? If I was to bring the station pussy in...
The station pussy?
Would you be able to drain the station pussy's anal glands?
Absolutely. I'd do that for you in a second, because what you have to do is you have to lull it into a false sense of security.
And then you have to come in here, please.
And then you have to... Then you have to be real careful. He didn't mean it. No, you stopped that,
no,
mate.
I'm kidding. Actually, our cat's name is Mr. Giggles.
All right, Mr. Giggles. Is this Mr. Oh, what a beauty. This looks like a domesticated American house cat.
He is a calico.
All right, let me pick up the calico and see what happens now. She's real calm. She's not purring. She doesn't really like me yet, but she's perfectly calm. Let's see what happens when I try to drain her anal gland. Here we go.
Here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Take my right finger. That's fine. It's not going to hurt a bit. This is going to be... okay.
I hit the wrong button.
I thought I saw that nasty hawk. There's that killer. He'll peck me eyes out if I'm not careful. He's a real beauty. Specimen he is. He's got great color, but I can't concentrate on the cat when I'm... Oh, he shot me balls. He shot me balls. What are you doing? I can't help it. Your kitty cat is latched on to my beanbag. Jeez, oh, this is a real painful experience. If you're not careful, he's dug his claws full into me beanbag and he won't let go, man. Take him off. Try to get the bird to swoop on down. Where's that nasty chicken hawk? I call him down. Bird, come here, chicken hawk. Get the owl. Owl, good God, he's chilling on me. Ah, there's the bird. Attack him. That's right, now pull him off of me. Pull him off. Oh, there he goes. He's gone. Now they're running down the hall. Yeah, cat is scared. Meanwhile, now there's another. I'm getting totally confused, mate. There's a kitty cat and a hawk in here. I'm going to sit down and get some water.
Have a seat.
That was mighty tough. I don't make that at you.
All right.
Why do you do everything on your show so dangerous? How come you just can't be like one of those dudes on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom where you take the animal's
picture? Oh, those guys are fags. I'll tell you right now, Marlon Perkins, he can kiss my derriere. I tell you right now, I like to get up in close and close and personal. It's a real ripper. Crikey, I have such a great time with these animals, and I don't want to stay far away. You see, let me tell you something, mate.
Okay.
If I stay far away from all these animals, then it won't give the same flavor to my show. I tell you right now, if you get far away from them, you can't get a real feel for the animal. You might be talking about my special on the world's deadliest snake. When I got this close, 2 inches away, to an Eastern Diamondback Rattler, a real ripper, almost 5 feet long and fat around the middle, loaded with venom. It could kill you on the spot. And you know what I did? I tongue-kissed him, mate. That's right. I opened his teeth with his giant fangs, and I wedged my tongue right into his mouth.
Why would you do that?
Because he knew I was friendly. He knew I didn't mean him any harm. They're beautiful creatures. They just want to be left alone. But when I come up to them, I gotta pester them. And if I pester them enough, I can wedge my tongue right into its throat. There are all sorts of things that haven't made it on tape when it comes to the crocodile hunter. I don't mind telling you. Absolutely.
Tell me something. Are you offended when people get you confused with the Outback Steakhouse guy?
Ah, no, Mike, that doesn't bother me. You've talked to me many times. Nothing fazes me. Just keep the animals coming. I'll tell you, there was this one time that I got a Brazilian tree lizard. Deadly poisonous, you know. If you don't get too close to them, they'll be okay. But I actually licked the whole thing all over its body. It was fantastic, man. It was my saliva and his lizard stuff all mixing together that really got me into a royal sweat, mate.
Now, if we were able to bring the station elephant in, would you be able to give the station elephant the test for the anal glands?
Oh, absolutely. I'll need a stepladder. Do you have a stepladder here so I can get up to its rectum?
Yes, we do.
Thanks a lot, man.
Go back to the sales office, please.
Okay.
Get that. All right. That's the station elephant.
All right,
come
first
by.
Of all, what's the... what's the name? What's the name of your station elephant?
Hold on.
Does it have a name?
Yes, I need to confer.
All right.
Give me a moment, Steve.
All right. As they're doing that, I will tell you that it's a delicate procedure when you're going to drain the anal glands of any animal,
sure.
Much less a large animal. Hello, Buzz.
Hello, Steve. Good
how,
to see you.
How are your cats?
My cats are fine,
since
thank you.
Since the last time I drained their anal glands.
The elephant's name is Stetzel.
All right, let's bring Stetzel the elephant in. Now, mind you, boys, you got to be quiet.
Right.
Because the elephants get real spooked, and you know the damage they can do. You've seen those circus elephants when they go mental. They step on people's heads and they crunch them like grapes and you see their brains coming out and squishing all over the place. Did you see that one trainer? He wasn't kind, but I'll treat Stetzel with a lot of respect. Bring Stetzel the elephant in.
Robbie, open the door, bring Stetzel
okay.
in.
All right, I got
come
me step
ladder. Here she is.
Here we go. Easy, Stetzel. Easy, Stetzel. I tell you right now, love, what I'm going to do is just drain your anal glands. Here we go. Hey, what? Oh! me finger. He stepped on me finger. He's crushed it. He's crushed me bloody finger. Get that bastard out of here.
Get Stetzel to get up.
Get Stetzel out.
Stand. Stetzel, stand.
Stetzel standing on me
stand.
Finger.
Oh. Oh, look at that. He crushed my finger clean off. This is no use to me anymore, mate. Give me your pocket knife. Do you mind?
No, sure. Here
all
you
right.
Go.
I'm not going to use that. You know what I'll need?
What?
A saw. Because it's so crushed,
all right.
It'll be no use to me. I got to saw it off right here.
Robbie,
you're
going
to hear me saw my finger off.
Bring the saw.
This ought to hurt. Boy, this really smarts. All right. What I'm going to do right now, it smarts. It's a real ripper, Ross. All right. I'm going to tell you right now. When an elephant steps on your finger and crushes it beyond recognition, the best thing to do is to cut it off right at the third knuckle, and that's what I'm going to do right now.
You're
going
to cut your finger off right now.
Here we go, mate. First of all, put your finger out on a hard piece of wood or a table. Make sure it's a hard surface because you're going to have to go right through the bone. Here we go. All right, back
you
and
ready?
Forth now with the saw. I'm ready. There we go. Oh, that hurts. It hurts taking me own finger off, mate. I'm sure this will be a lot more pleasant. There it goes. Just a little bit, just a few more strokes, and this finger should be clean off. Hey, I'll tell you what, mate. I give it to you as a souvenir. Here we go. Come on. Oh, oh, there we go. Oh, jeez. Could I have a paper towel?
Robbie, get him a paper towel, please.
That's a lot. All right, fantastic.
Get him a paper towel, please.
Now, you wrap your finger up. Make sure you wrap your finger up and save it. You can't save it on ice and take it to the emergency room because you're not going to save this finger. I'll just keep it as a memento and I'll dry it and hang it from me belt. Excellent. I love that. Pain is my friend.
You just cut your finger off.
I did because it was very, very angry and irritated. I didn't want the infection to set in. Does anybody have any rubbing alcohol they can pour it on the wound?
Robbie,
I'll tell you, it's bleeding like a stuck pig. Maybe it's
go,
a real ripple.
This happens to be a radio station.
You boys are so accommodating.
We happen to have some rubbing alcohol.
Sting.
There we go. Oh, yes. That's great. I'm high as a kite now, man. What a ripple that is. I'll tell you, it feels, it might be a little painful for a couple of days, but I'll tell you, I'll be back in no time taking care of all me animals. I'm going to have a special on a giant centipede. You know those big ones they have in the Amazon that crawl along the ground and they can sting and inject venom?
How many legs do those things have?
They got millions of them. Millions and billions of legs creepy crawling over, but at the front of them they got fangs that can inject venom. It can paralyze a grown man. You know what I'm going to do with them?
What?
I'm going to use them as suppositories. Just for fun.
Uh-oh.
Because they like warm, dry places. Or warm, wet places. Whatever the case may be. I'm going to take 16 centipedes and put them right up here. And then they're going to live up there. It'll be a real ripper, mate.
Me, we're going to play Almost in Jeopardy now.
Oh, I love your little games. That's great. Hey, do you want to see me centipede? I got one there right now.
You got a centipede in your bung?
Oh, no, that's not it. That's one of your American scorpions. He was sleeping. Look at how cute he is. He is really cute. Listen, while you take a break, I'm going to go in the hallway and try to catch that hawk.
Our telephone number is 1-877-365-3636. We'll take the first two. Oh,
there it is. I'll get you even though I got four fingers on me right hand, mate.
We will take the first two calls right now for Jeopardy. Right.
He's the Don and Mike Show. Sports 1140.
Hollywood Video presents 60 Second Theater, where we try unsuccessfully to pack all the drama and suspense of a two-hour Hollywood production into 60 seconds. Today's presentation, The Sixth Sense.
Who are you?
I'm a child psychologist. I heard you've been having some nightmares. What's bothering you?
I see dead people.
You gotta speak up, kid.
I see dead people.
I can't hear a thing you're saying.
I see dead people.
What? Let's pick this up next week. Last time we met, you were saying...
I see dead people.
Why are you whispering?
I see dead people.
You see Fred who?
I see dead people.
Oh, that. Are you sure you don't have an Oedipus complex? I'm good at those.
No.
How about bedwetting? That's my specialty.
Just dead people. Can you help me?
Sorry, time's up.
Dead people are everywhere.
Are they here?
Yes.
Where?
You can't see them.
Can they see you?
They see what they want to see.
So they
want to
see you?
Yes, every day.
Can I see you again tomorrow?
Okay.
Sorry, I'm late. Tell me more about the dead people.
They have no concept of time.
What else do they do?
Lots of questions.
They do. How come? About what?
You tell me.
How would I know about dead people?
Because you're...
What'd you say?
If this doesn't satisfy your urge to see The Sixth Sense, and we can't say we blame you, then rent it for 5 days at Hollywood Video, where The Sixth Sense is guaranteed to be in stock, or next time it's free. Celebrity voices impersonated.
Need a car? How about one for as low as $995? The Lasher Auto Group has teamed up with a national used car liquidator to eliminate their entire overstock used car inventory. Starting at 11 a.m. Saturday and 12 p.m. on Sunday, the Lasher Fisher Auto Group will be marking down prices on over $1 million worth of used cars and trucks. Hundreds of vehicles marked down to their rock bottom. No haggling, no back and forth. This is it. The best price up front. Don't worry about credit. We can help. We finance even the hard to finance. So be there at 11 a.m. Saturday, 12 p.m. on Sunday. 5800 Florin Road in Sacramento. Cars as low as $995. This weekend only at the Lasher Auto Group. ID number 007329 and 302404. Prices do not include applicable tax, license, smog, and dock fees. No dealers or wholesalers, please.
Margot and Barry, they're a great couple. But lately, something had come between them.
It started last week. I was talking to my best friend. We were in the middle of a conversation about...
Wrap it up, punk. Come on.
The talent show at our kid's school when all of a
sudden... Come on, hon. Time is money.
See?
Barry, what's with the timer?
It's our cellular bill. We keep going over the minutes on our plan.
You know what you two need? Sprint PCS. Right now, you get 2,000 minutes a month for just $75.
2,000 minutes?
That's 1,000 anytime minutes and 1,000 night and weekend minutes. So you never have to cut your conversation short. And you'll get clear calls on the only all-digital, all-PCS nationwide network, serving more than 280 major metropolitan areas. Guys.
Sorry, it's just...
We gotta go pick up a Sprint PCS phone.
Right.
I think you two will do just fine.
Sprint PCS, the clear alternative to cellular.
Hurry into your nearest Sprint PCS center or select retailer. See printed materials in stores for details.
Anchors away!
Hey, Dad, where's the bait?
Yeah, I think it's over in the tackle box.
Tackle box?
On top of the life jackets there.
Oh, shouldn't we be wearing the life jackets?
Oh, did you see that?
Yeah, but...
Here, let me bait that up for you, or we'll miss the big one.
Sure thing, Dad.
Okay, time for Dad to show you how it's done.
Dad!
It's all on the wrist, you know.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not sure you ought to be standing up.
Always check behind you. I learned that the hard way. And then you lean way back.
Dad! The boat.
Watch me now. The real key is to know when to let...
Uh-oh.
Dad?
Unfortunately, most people don't think about wearing their life jacket until an accident happens. But 4 out of 5 drownings could be prevented. California law requires each boat to carry enough Coast Guard-approved life jackets for everyone on board. Make sure yours fits properly and wear it.
Could you throw me a life jacket now?
The California Department of Boating and Waterways reminds you to boat smart from the start. Wear your life jacket. Don't go overboard without it.
One wants to be a doctor, one wants to be a dragon. One loves fractions, the other loves recess. Identical twins, different as night and day. And you give them both the moon and the stars if you could. You give them chicken with no hormones and no steroids because you can. Tyson. We're chicken. Quality chicken. Tyson. It's what your family deserves.
To get digital cable or satellite TV. Introducing the Starz Encore Super Pack. Up to 12 different movie channels. Incredibly, all for about $12 a month. See new hit movies on Starz, Encore, and channels like Action, Mystery, BET Movie Channel, and more. Get the Starz Encore Super Pack. 12 different movie channels. Call 1-800-SUPERPACK today.
With subscription to digital cable or satellite TV, availability and price may vary.
Craigen Auto Parts has everything you need to make your vehicle look and run its best. Come in today and check out our huge selection of top-performing, high-quality brand-name auto parts, and all at the low price guaranteed.
Like Raybestos, the best in brakes, D3 EA certified to be consistent with federal safety standards. Come into Craigen today for a case of Pennzoil Motor Oil, just 69 cents a quart after mail-in rebate.
We also have Exide batteries, Monroe shocks, BorgWarner ignition parts, Daco belts and hoses, a full line of Fram products, and all kinds of top-performing brand-name parts.
Craigen also offers a limited lifetime warranty on most of the parts we carry. Plus, if you find a part we carry somewhere else for less, we'll beat that price by 5% guaranteed.
And Craigen has more stores than ever to serve you better. Each one staffed with ASE-certified parts pros who give fast, friendly service and help you find what you need. So visit Craigen today.
More brands, more parts, and always the low price guaranteed. Craigen, the place to start for parts.
A lot of folks who come to AutoZone are the kind of people who believe that taking care of a car and saving money go hand in hand. And that's what our Exxon Oil Change Special is all about. You see, right now you can pick up a special 5-quart container of Exxon Superflow Motor Oil and any Fram Extra Guard oil filter in stock for just $5.99. But hurry, because this offer is good only while supplies last. And is available only at AutoZone.
Sports 1140 KHDK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
It doesn't smell like a cigar.
Continuing to broadcast under the Line One regime, the Don and Mike Show.
Show.
I'm here with Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter.
Watch me show, mate. Thanks a lot, Johnny Boy
Elf. He's a real ripper, that one. He's a pistol. The Minister of Information.
What did you do during the commercial? I noticed that your hand is still all bloodied.
Well, I got it stopped. I cauterized it with a lit match. I actually cauterized the wound, and I closed it up, you see. What I did is I slowly burned the flesh right around where I severed the finger, and it sealed up so it won't bleed anymore, and it'll prevent infection.
You're into pain, right?
I like pain. You have to deal with a lot of pain. I was bitten by just about every animal on the planet, especially the dangerous ones. And if you've been bitten by a giant anaconda, Mike, you don't forget that overnight.
Why do you do this thing? I've noticed you do this on your show.
Yeah, Mike.
You're doing it today, this thing where you look at the camera.
Oh, yeah, and I wink.
And then you make like a Popeye smile, and you do that. That click thing?
That's to say, it's real great. That's what I did on my Poisonous Snake show when I got real close to the Rattler. I was so close to him. Wasn't that exciting? I pop my cheek and I wink and I say, I'm just loving life, mate, over the great old family.
What?
People say sometimes I appear to be borderline retarded, mate. I'll tell you right now, I just love me work. I just love animals. I like getting into their caves, going into their dens, crawling around in the swamp and finding the most dangerous creatures in the world. That's why people always say I'm dead. But I'm not, mate. I'm alive, and I'm going to bring you much more enjoyable programming like that anal gland special I told you about.
I certainly have heard the rumors on the internet that you're dead, and people call the show all the time and say they heard that you're dead. I've not heard this talk that you just mentioned. People think you're retarded.
Well, they just think that I'm a little too crazy, mate. You know, they think that I'm just challenged a little bit because I go out and do these crazy things, but I'm not. I love life, and I love animals, and animals are the greatest things, especially snakes. I like them. I like the more dangerous, the better. Because they're misunderstood. Much like me, mate.
How can you misunderstand a goddamn snake?
Oh, snakes are so misunderstood. They just want to be left alone. People think they're killers. They're only killers if you invade their territory. That's it, mate.
What's my love budget jeopardy?
Jeopardy. Now entering the studios of both of our two challenges. Let's say hi to a storeroom clerk from Greenville, South Carolina. It's Carl Big Woody.
Hey, Carl Woody.
Hello.
Hello.
And now entering the studios, our second challenger. This individual is a student from Silver Spring, Maryland. Let's say hi to Hassan Brown.
Your categories, boys, and they are the most bars in America.
That sounds dangerous. You're talking about bars where people go drink?
Yes.
You can get into a mighty pickle in those places, Crikey.
The National Felons League.
National Felons, like criminals?
Yes.
I like these categories, mate.
Celebrity Sickness.
Celebrity Sickness, that's good. I don't like animals when they get sick.
And I really hate celebrities when they get sick.
New on home video.
That's exciting. I've got several VCRs where I do my tape editing.
States and capitals.
States and capitals. That's good. For the little ones that you do the educational part of the program, I think that's a very valued attribute. I try to bring that into my shoes, too.
Let's go with the guy with the... Which one of these guys had the cherry gig of being a stockroom clerk?
Stockroom clerk is Carl Woody from Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay, Woody, go ahead.
I'll take states and capitals, please.
States and capitals. For one, it is the capital of the great state of Arkansas.
Hey, Carl, it's a radio show. You got to talk and make some kind of sound, mate. Hey, Hassan Brown, it's your chance to steal.
A little rock.
That was not in the form of a question.
No answers correct from either one of these two rippers. And now let's move on, Carl. Carl Woody, it's your chance to...
Let's try states and capitals for two, please.
It is the capital of Georgia.
What is Atlanta?
Hey! Two titles for you, Carl.
You got it.
You're on the board and you're roaming through the jungle.
Start your game, mate.
Let's try states and capitals for three.
It is the capital of Florida.
What is Tallahassee?
Ah, look at that. That guy's on a roll. That's two in a row, Steve.
He's a real ripper. He's doing great. What a great specimen he is. All right, that's $3. Select again there, Carl. Ready?
Let's try celebrity sickness, please, for one.
All right, these are all celebrities who have recently been in the news for being sick.
Ah, what a shine.
This diva was hospitalized for food poisoning.
Who is Phyllis Diller?
That's my favorite diva.
Good luck getting out of that stockroom.
Hassan, it's your chance to steal.
Who is Mariah Carey?
Right.
$1 for you, Hassan. Select again, please.
Celeb sickness for two.
This teeny bopper star received 4 stitches in her head while filming her new video.
Carl, it's your chance to steal.
Drawing a blank.
All right, guys, you know, this is not like real Jeopardy.
That's right.
These are not really tough questions.
Even breathe through your mouth loudly, just so we know you're there. All right, guys.
The answer is Britney Spears.
Britney Spears.
She's a ripper.
I love her videos. I'd like to get her out in the outback swamp with me. All right, Sam, you're in control.
Celeb sickness for three.
This comedian / sitcom star was hospitalized to remove part of his intestine.
Who is Buzz Burbank?
Hey, Carl. Carl, what are you to chance to steal?
Yeah, no,
thanks, Carl.
No need to even say anything, Carl. No, it's Tim Allen.
And that means that Hassan, you're in control again.
Let's go with celeb sickness for four.
Only three, Hassan.
Oh, my bad. New on home video for one.
Okay, new on home video this weekend stars Russell Crowe.
That's right, he's a mate of mine, you know. He's Australian. Hey, Carl, it's your chance to steal.
Don't know that one either.
Thank you for saying you don't know, though, Carl.
Sure.
All right.
Little thing called The Insider.
The Insider. Big movie, nominated for Academy Awards. Right. All right, hey, Sam, you're in control, mate.
Let's see, the National, was it Felony?
No, you got to finish the video. You got to get both the video ones wrong first.
Okay, new one home video, number two.
Stars George Clooney. An ice cube, and was in a desert during the Gulf War.
You're giving him the whole plot, mate.
The Patriot?
Hey, Carl, it's your chance to steal.
What is Three Kings?
Yeah, $2 for you, Cal.
Yes, you're back in control, mate.
What we're doing, we're massaging the rules now.
That's a good idea.
Let's finish out new on home video.
Okay, stars Robin Williams.
What is Bicentennial Land?
No. Hey, Hassan, it's your chance to steal.
I don't know.
Thank Holocaust.
No.
Jacob the Liar.
Jacob the Liar. Robin Williams. I love him in Moscow and the Hudson. All right, Cal, you're in control.
Most bars for one.
All right, now something tells me this will be the category you guys really kill in.
Way to go, boys.
This city, this American city, has the most bars of any city in the country.
What is New York?
Hey, Hassan, it's your chance to steal.
What is Louisiana?
Yeah, that's a nice city.
Oh,
it's a free city, Hassan.
Forget what I just said.
I'll tell you, they tried, man. What's the city there, Lord Quizmaster?
Chicago.
Chicago! All right, Cal, you're in control.
Most bars for two.
Could we possibly find two dumber guys to play this game today?
I'll tell you, these two are real rippers. This game's going along just like the tortoise.
Your budget's doing just fine, guys.
All right.
This city has the second highest number of bars of any city in the United States.
What is New York?
At Sand, it's your chance to stay, to steal. Don't say Louisiana.
What is Washington, D.C.?
No.
No, it's Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, a big city with
big
lots
city.
Of bars and dangerous, dangerous rats. All right, Cal, your chance to stay in control.
Most bars for three.
This city has the third highest number of bars of any city in the United States. Keep in mind that Chicago and Los Angeles have already been guessed.
What is New York?
Excellent job, Carl. $3 more to add to your kitty. Select again, please.
National, whatever that last one was.
On this special ed edition of Low Budget Jeopardy.
Everybody hop on the short bus, mate.
It's the National Felons League. He was the first NFL player arrested for murder while being an active player in the league. And it was a very famous story. And he played for the Carolina Panthers. And God damn it, you guys are stupid.
And Sam, it's your chance to steal.
Hold up, Don. I know the answer. Who is Ray Caruth?
Thank you.
$1 for Hassan. You're back and rolling. Go again, my friend.
And Carl, you live in South Carolina.
Just drawing blanks, guys.
Drawing blanks. That's all.
Oh, it's too bad your dad wasn't drawing blanks.
Oh, my God. It's getting mighty hostile in here, man.
The national felony for two, please, sir.
Second NFL player arrested for murder.
Who is Ray Lewis?
There you go.
$2 for Hassan. You're smoking now and you're catching up to Cal.
They're smart. They're funny. They're just not quite as handsome as Mikey Rocket. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, they're handsome, mate. They're as handsome as a Burmese pilot.
I love doing this show. It's always so energetic.
We're as handsome as what?
A Burmese python.
Oh, a Burmese python.
Yeah, Burmese python. Big,
long, beautiful skin. Lovely to touch. It's great. I actually licked him from his top until his bottom.
It was great, man.
I had a Burmese python once.
Did you really?
You know what her name was?
What's that? Share it with me and the rest of the audience, mate.
No, I'll write it down.
All right. Share it.
Maybe I'll read it.
I get it, though.
I don't do that, mate. Listen.
There she is.
That was the name.
Oh, yeah.
That was the name.
The only problem with her is she shed all the time.
Leaving a trail of dead skin all the way in the hallway, mate.
Yes, she did. Hey, Hassan.
What's that?
Hassan and Carl Woody.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Woody, drawing a blank. Good luck, guys. It's final low-budget Jeopardy. We will physically force you both to bet it all. One of you guys will win, or maybe none of you guys will win. We'll see. Here's the category. It's legal drugs.
Legal drugs. All right, mate.
That's your category, legal drugs, and here's the answer. In 1999, this was the most popular over-the-counter drug sold in America. Total sales, $800 million. I'll give it to you one more time, guys. Legal drugs. In 1999, this was the most popular over-the-counter drug sold in America. Total sales, $800 million. Don't forget, answer in the form of a question and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy
will receive the Croc Hunter's used jungle shorts.
Oh, crikey.
I go through 10 or 20 pairs of shorts a month, mate.
They get all ripped. They get burned. They get torn up.
And sometimes they even get soiled when I get really super deluxe excited. And I put them in a baggie and I send them out to you because you're the fans of the cargo, right? I love you.
And now back to final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex Trebicheronimo.
Oh, you see.
It's game time now. It's a catch for you and me.
No!
Time for Don and Mike to play
Low Budget Jeopardy.
Well, I just want to say for the record.
Yes.
Not a chance.
All right.
Let's go to Hassan first.
Hassan.
Hassan. Hassan.
What was that?
In 1999, this was the most popular over-the-counter drug sold in America. Total sales, over $800 million.
What is cold medicine?
Cold medicine. You thought overtime. You pulled that sinking cap on tight for that one, mate.
No, Carl Woody.
Rather than saying, I'm drawing a blank, I'll just say I'm an idiot. What is NyQuil?
What is NyQuil?
They both had cold medicine, mate.
Way to go. They must get a lot of colds. They must be real rippers.
You know, let me ask Buzz this, because pharmacies are Buzz's specialty. Buzz, yes. What would your answer have been?
My guess would be Tylenol.
That was correct,
Buzz.
Buzz
Burbank gets all the money, mate.
Yes, it's... Tylenol.
Yes, that nasty horse. Come on down there.
Oh, she's a real beauty. Look at the droppings.
Tylenol, that's the answer we're looking for, not cold medicine or NyQuil. Guys, Carl, Woody, and Hassan, oh, parting is such sweet, sweet sorrow. Adieu, adieu, adieu. Guys, please don't go away mad. Just go away. Here is Steve Irwin to tell you about your gift. Steve!
Thanks, dear Lord Quizmaster. Both of you have won an Earth Day prize pack, mate. Celebrate Earth Day as a 500 million people around the world come together on April 22nd to make sure the decisions we made are the right ones.
But wait, mate, there's more.
You've won a fresh Samantha prize pack.
How about a fresh Sheila prize pack, eh?
Enjoy fresh Samantha juices today. Available at Denny's and grocery stores everywhere. Thanks a lot for playing the game, boys, and have a great time.
Thank you, boys. We'd have some better prizes if we didn't get so many drawn to blanks.
Sorry about that.
What?
Can I say something?
Yes, Hassan.
I just wanted to say that Toya is very special. That's all I have to say.
What? All right, and you got a shot with her, Hassan, after this great performance today.
He's got that statement on
me. I'm a biochemistry student. This stuff is below me.
I'll tell you right now, that's a good answer,
yeah.
Hassan.
Way to go. Yeah, it's below you.
Below you. Hey, Toya, we got one for you right here.
All right, Carl, Hassan, have a great weekend. Thank you, guys.
Peace. Thank you.
All right, peace. Please, good luck getting out of that stockroom. Steve?
Yes, that's right. Lord Quizmaster, you can keep me finger that I hacked off right in here.
Thank you, Steve. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Always remember and never forget that Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of
Coron Incorporated,
and he's distributed by Jig World.
He's great. He's slightly retarded. I'm getting more retarded as the bit went on.
Sure.
Steve Irwin.
I don't know what was wrong with him.
Touchstones right there. Let's get out of here with a caller 100 and a prize package we've selected especially for you.
All right.
It's the end of the week. For goodness sakes, be assertive.
Yeah.
When you are the 100th caller, call Lisa, call Toya. They're standing by right now. Our phone number is still 1-877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's this, baby. It's...
The comic hole created by the absence of Howard McNear's Floyd the Barber wasn't completely filled. It had been 15 months since Howard McNear's stroke, and although he was still suffering from paralysis, Andy wanted him back.
We followed over there, and his wife, Helen, said, oh, if you'd just let him come back.
Well, they really don't go up as I do. But it's funny.
We built a little stand for him so he could lean back against. Most time we had him seated.
Hey, look at my new wife.
Hi, Floyd. Howdy.
He was just as wonderful as ever.
The writing is delicious. Laugh it up. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, like I told you, Monday we're going to have Rick Rockwell on the show.
Yes.
Also, Monday we're going to be giving away that DVD player that we didn't do today. I'm sorry, we'll get to that on Monday with everybody that's qualified.
Very good.
I'll be out at FedEx Field tomorrow. For those of you listening on WJFK-FM. Tomorrow morning, Larry, Michael, and I will have the Redskins draft show.
Yep, and they're going to actually fly these guys in, right?
Yes, we'll be on the air starting at 11 tomorrow morning. From the stadium, Redskins draft choices will be flown right to FedEx Field from New York. Once they're picked, they're going to pick the Redskinettes. We'll all be on the Jumbotron. That's tomorrow. See you at FedEx Field. Don and Mike, Las Vegas-style show. Wednesday, May 3, we will be at Carmen Kaboom.
Oh, I love the name of that joint.
That's in Columbia, Maryland. Don't cost nothing to get in. It's our way of saying thank you for listening to the show, making the show number one rated. Watch you come out in Columbia, Maryland to Carmen Kaboom.
Kaboom!
Wednesday, May 3, 2000. For information, in area code 410, call 740.
Goodbye, turkey. My attorney will be in touch.
2016.
Oh, you moved those tapes.
Okay, that's on me. Played the wrong tape. Meant to play that one.
That's the Touchstones.
Caller 100. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi. My caller 100?
Yes.
No, you're not.
No.
No, you're not.
No,
sorry.
No, you're not. No, absolutely right.
Right.
Right. No. No.
Time to move to the real caller 100.
No, you're not. And I should have played these tapes first.
Actually, we're done. Done.
And not a moment too soon.
You gotta catch the next show.
Goodbye, turkey. My attorney will be in touch.
No. See, there's an order for everything.
There is indeed.
And
right. Everything's for an order.
Well, you push the buttons and you do it well.
Everybody looks good in
cowboy hat.
A cowboy hat.
In a whorehouse?
Horse hockey.
Okay, horse hockey.
Horse hockey.
Everybody looks good in a cowboy hat.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you for listening. See you Monday back with the new episode.
New York will be back up there next Thursday and Friday. Don't wait for him.
Thursday.
Have a great weekend. Love you, Frida. Love you, Barn. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I am caller 100.
Right. Oh, yeah. Au revoir. See you Monday. Let's see you tomorrow. Saturday.
And you'll be interviewing those guys that they draft, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to hear them talk to Washington for the first time, listen to that show.
I'll ask them really important questions. What's your name, my friend?
My name is Chip.
Chip, where are you from?
Warrington.
Chip, you want a pair of passes to the Cinema Arts Theater in Fairfax. Independent foreign films, check listings by visiting www.cinemaartstheater.com. But wait, there's more. You've also qualified for the next big free money show 2 weeks from today on April 28th. That's when we pay rent and mortgages. And we give away thousands of dollars. It's free money. We love paying rents and mortgages. Makes us feel good. How much do you pay every month?
Around $1,100.
You know what? That's another big one.
That's good. We'd love to do that for you.
Another big four-digit rent or mortgage. Make sure you're listening 2 weeks from today, okay?
Absolutely. Every day.
Beautiful. Thank you. We do appreciate that. Okay. Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right.
See you Monday with the new episode. Thank you. Good night, Buzz.
Thank you and good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Robbie.
Bob Skin.
Take your Santa Claus hat. And throw it in the air, just like Sid Tyler Moore. You might just make it after
all. Oh, no.
Sorry, I did that. Bob Skin, you threw that too hard.
I'm very sorry I did it, Don.
We'll see you Monday.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind.